How do you learn who you really are? It's not found in books. It's found on the battlefield. What's up, Warriors? Welcome back to the Battlefield of Mind. I'm Rick, creator of the Warriors Way of Mindset, and I am here today with Nick Maytash, right?
You got it.
Warrior. Maytash. I didn't want to screw it up because it's the words, the letters. The evolved man himself. And this is two men's warriors. We both run our own men's organizations, and we're going to be going over some of the stuff that not only is working against men, but works for men together. We're going to go over tough topics. And so for any of you ladies who got your guys, take notes. And any of you guys who got ladies, take notes, because we're going to be giving you something to fill up the pages. There you go. Nick, catch people up on your side. Tell them what you do, and then let's start kicking ass together.
Yeah, man. So as Rick mentioned, I run the Evolved Man. I've been doing so for the last 6-7 years or so. A company kind of dedicated to helping men in their lives initially, and then I kind of along the way realized that there was a big gap in relationships, relationship dynamics, just a lot of pieces of the puzzle that guys just either aren't explicitly taught, or after being taught them, they just don't retain the information because it never was really valued or important to what they felt like it was supposed to be, being a man and being that provider, protector, the whole thing. So anyway, along the way, I kind of was like, all right, there's this hole in the market. There's this space within men that I'm pretty good at, like, just unabashedly, like, I'm pretty good at this role of husband and father. Obviously, it took a lot of work and still contains a lot of work, but being able to help and communicate the information that's necessary for men to, you know, take in the best parts of themselves, but also pour into their relationships in the best way possible is kind of the mission at the Evolved Man, is giving them the tools to kind of put to bed a lot of some of the old school, you know, emotionally distant, not very communicative, just be a paycheck type guy. Let's evolve towards something that can still be the paycheck, can still be the runner of the house. All that stuff is cool. No problem with it whatsoever. But adopting some new skills in the relationship realm of your life so that you can, you know, after the door closes, you get home and you want to relax with your people, like you actually know how to in a fruitful way. That's kind of the essence of what we do, is give guys those tools. And obviously relationships can be messy, and there's a lot of left turns, right turns, and everything that goes with that. So it is, it's been a great gift for me to learn how to, because the thing is, the information is the information, but getting it to men in a way that they understand it and they understand what it means to them and why it's valuable. That has been most of the work for me. Like I knew the information backwards and forwards, but helping men understand it in a way that actually resonates with them has been part of the journey. So yeah, man, I've been, you know, in the trenches with guys similar to you. It's a fun ride. It's, sometimes a dark ride, but it always does come out the other side if both sides are intentional, both myself and our clients. And it's really one of the more fruitful corners of my life, which I'm really grateful for. So I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, no, it's an honor, man. I'm glad to have somebody else who gets in the trenches. I always love it. People have been there. Like, we find relatability very quickly. I work more personal. Like, I help people do their deep, deep psychology work. I go into the darkness of that one person. Yeah. I'm not a relationship expert, so I'm going to be leaning in on you for more relationship questions today.
Sure.
Cause I'll be very open with you. I'm responsible for more relationships not working than working. Right. Like, I've found that when I have two healthy people, and I was just on a podcast this morning with another person who found the same, she works with the women, okay, and found the same thing. Is that when one person starts developing and becoming far more healthy, there seems to be a dissonance in the relationship as the gap gets too far.
Sure.
And this is something where I kind of want to lean in on what your experience has been over the last 6-7 years of when you're working with maybe the man, and he starts to evolve into a healthy version. But the start of it was, well, hypergamy was there and she chose equal and up. And you were both not healthy.
Sure.
You're both not healthy. So when he starts evolving to be healthy and she's still not, how are you bridging this gap? Because it seems to either become sabotage or she works for it. Right. And one kills it and one gives you guys a fighting chance. What are you running into with this whole issue?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. Honestly, this is lived experience for me. Because when, and I'll kind of get to the point of why it is important to understand the dynamics of the relationship in order to kind of bridge that gap. But so when my wife and I got married, it was 2015. So we've been married 8+ years now, have 3 beautiful kids. But, you know, when I became a husband, I always tell guys, husband felt important. This felt significant. You know, I was a good boyfriend. I was a good fiance. I was a good guy. But, you know, and looking at my dad also a great husband, good father, all that stuff. So I had a good playbook to run with, but I basically, maybe my, you know, competitive nature, grew up playing sports, whatever. I was like, I want to be the best fucking husband, father I possibly can be. So it just kind of broke open this part of me that was like, I got to study. I got to research. I got to figure out what works, what doesn't work. I have to put aside my ego and kind of unleash whatever I can find within me in doing that work. So that was in 2015. And so, you know, come 2016, I'm starting to invest in myself, hire coaches and mentors, get into masterminds, things of that nature. And, you know, my wife is, you know, she's an amazing person, but at the same time, she's looking at me doing all of this work, getting up before the sun, meditating, reading all these books. Who, you know, if you knew me in 2013, 2014, didn't fucking care. But 2015 came, I became a husband. Like, all right, now I'm doing. So it was like a switch that she saw within me. And part of it is like, okay, cool, my husband's getting after it. That's solid. But at the same time, what does that bring up for me? Does that bring up that I'm not good enough for him? Does that bring up that he's trying to find someone else that is on the same level as him? So like, there's a lot of questions that come up from that. It was almost like this rubber band effect of like, okay, stretching. And you have two options. The breaking point is one of them, which is one breaks away and it's like, okay, this is my journey over here is an individual one because the relationship wasn't working. The rubber band comes back together is when I think the relationship dynamics become really important, because seeing that within my wife, like, of course she's not mad at me that I'm bettering myself. Of course she's not upset that I'm going to like, her conscious mind doesn't think that I'm going to leave her. I love this woman more than anything that I have in my life, but it's insecurity. It's seeing that, acknowledging it, and then communicating down to like, hey, this is, and coming back to the purpose of why I want to do this in the first place. Again, husband felt important to me. Husband means I'm associated with you. Like, it's not about me, you know, getting on a stage and talking to a bunch of people. It's not me making millions of dollars. Like, those would be cool and eventually will be awesome. Can't wait. Right. But in that moment in 2015, 2016, like, this is about me optimizing who I can be so that you have a husband that is incredible. And our kids eventually, now that we have them, three of them, have a father that will, you know, take care of them, that will guide them, that will show them the love and the empathy that they need from their father, all of that stuff. Like, that's why I'm getting up at 5 a.m. That is why I'm hitting the gym. That is, and she didn't see all the connecting points in my mind as to why it was purposeful work. And I could easily see in that same situation, if I don't come back to her and sit with her, communicate to her, like, this is why this is happening, and give her that purpose of the process for me, her stories are going to be of insecurity. It's going to be of, oh, he doesn't want to be with me. He's going to leave me. He's trying to find something better. And like, no, not even a little bit. My purpose is in making sure what we're building here is a sturdy foundation, isn't just on a whim. And you know, lo and behold, now it's been 8+ years. Eventually it kind of clicked for her, made sense for her. Like, okay, I see that. And, you know, honestly honoring the words of that too, and coming back to her frequently and saying, hey, I know it's been a couple months since we chatted about it, checking in, all that being important. You know, I think that is one piece of it that helped bridge the gap. But I think another part of it is, and I say this to my guys all the time, like, everybody has their own door that swings open to the world of personal development. Like, if you're in the trenches, you know, doing the transformation, the personal stuff, like, it's either pain or pleasure. It's either pain or something that inspires them. Mine was inspiration. It was being a husband. I wanted to be a really, really amazing husband. My wife's kind of cracked open when she became a mom. And it was like, I need to make sure that I'm taking care of me so that my kids can see a healthy mother, so that my kids can see a healthy dynamic between me and you. And not to say that she needed a lot of stuff to, you know, catch up with, because she's, again, incredible in person, just status quo. But, you know, I think that game of kind of bridging the gap is almost a game of patience as well. Cause at some point, I think everybody has a door that swings open. And if you're watching your partner already in the trenches and you have a door swing open, it's like, okay, I guess I get it now. My wife didn't get it when I was just trying to be a good husband. She was trying to be a good wife too. She was an intentional human being, but like, it made more of an impact to her when the seasons changed and she became a mom. And like, that's where her development, that's where her intentionality comes from. Mine came 4 or 5 years earlier than that. when we got married. Actually, I'm sorry, 3 years earlier than that, because our daughter was born in 2018. That was a long way of saying, like, yeah, there's going to be a gap if one person is striving and the other one isn't. Communication becomes key. Reading the room becomes key too. Like, if you're a guy trying to grow and you kind of look around and you're like, why is she upset? Like, ask questions, communicate, try to get down into the trenches with her and figure out where that's coming from. Because if you just kind of play it from an ego standpoint, being the guy, let's say he's on the rise, she doesn't want this from me. She's jealous of my growth. Those types of takes on looking at your own gap in your relationship is going to cause a lot of disruption. But if you can kind of humbly take a step and be like, okay, I've been doing this work. I wonder why this is upsetting her. Why is she feeling off about this? And then kind of bring that to her and have a conversation. Because otherwise that gap is going to continue to expand. And then eventually the rubber band breaks. You want the rubber band to come back together. That comes from, the intentionality and the communication of seeing what's going on rather than just kind of letting it lie until something erupts, which never is good for anybody.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Warrior, thank you so much for being a part of the information that we have. And you're part of our story as we are a part of yours. It's very much an honor to be able to connect with each other. If you want to know more or you want to get started with working with me or working with our warriors so that you can begin your path to authenticity, strength, leadership, and accountability, this is the way. Together, we are way stronger. Now you get to choose. Do you go forward or keep doing what you've always done? If you stay where you're at, hey, click on some of the stuff and follow what it is. We got motivational stuff. We've got podcasts. We've got more things. Just subscribe and do the stuff and we'll keep you updated. But if you want to start going in, start jumping into what our programs offer and start your journey and being the hero in your own story. No, and it's a really tricky battle right now. It's really hard for people to go through this stuff, the insecurities, the reassurance. I like that you said the purpose of the process. And then, like, yeah, that's a tough 3 years for her. She's watching you just rocket ship. And, sure. Like, listen, this is my experience. I've had men's groups and women's groups. Mm-hmm. Men just seem to go faster. They just seems to be, like, 3 to 5 times faster because we don't process as emotionally as women do.
Sure.
Not to say women don't get it. It's just as faster. Mm-hmm. I can get 5 or 6 things done in an hour with the guys. I get 2 things done with the girls. Same hour. And so it's not good or bad. It's just that's how it works. And so that rubber band starts to get noticeable. Mm-hmm. It starts to get. Now, you had 3 years of rubber band.
Yeah.
Three years before her door opened. She's like, the purpose of why. Okay, I get it. Like, it takes a minute. That's 3 years of reassurance for you.
Yeah. And not to say that this was happening every day, but every once in a while, like once a quarter, let's say, she would, whether it's a Facebook Live that I did that blew up and I was like excited that, people are actually talking about what I'm trying to share, or, I signed a client, or, I have certain dreams of X, Y, and Z, and like, who is this person? What? So it's just sitting down and noticing like, okay, the wheels are starting to get a little loose. We don't want them to fall off. Yeah. Let's sit down and check in. And again, coming back to that purpose, I think is important, because if it's just about, if the purpose is detached from the relationship, not to say that it has to be about the relationship, but if the purpose is about the relationship and you're not communicating that and letting her know, like, this is actually for you. I know it looks tangential. I know it looks like it's over here, but it is really here at home. Like, I want to make sure. And like I said, it wasn't every day. I could understand how, if it was every day for 3 years, that would be pretty exhausting. Luckily for me, it was not. It was
luckily,
yes. I was getting it, I think that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think a part of the reason why it was not every day for those 3 years was when the conversations did show up, I didn't run from them. I didn't get defensive. I was just trying to listen, find the insecurity, address it, and make sure that she felt seen and heard and walked away knowing that, I'm not trying to run away. I'm not trying to go anywhere. Give me enough of a bandwidth for the next few months where she's good. She feels secure in that. You know what I mean?
That's a pretty reasonable window to even have a once a quarter. Cause I know a lot of times once the gap starts becoming noticeable, a lot of my guys are like, dude, it's like every other day. Yeah. Like it's getting frustrating that I keep reassuring, like, no, it's for us. No, we got this, babe. It's for you. This work looked out. Look, it's our best interest. What are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. there is no other person but you. What are you doing? Stop it. And at some point it does get exhausting.
Sure.
And on that note, I've talked to a lot of people who are also relationship coaches, and the concept of autonomy comes up pretty often. What is your opinion in relationships, especially like the marriage element of like still having a sense of autonomy within the relationship?
Autonomy to what extent? Do you mean like having your own hobbies or like being able to go?
The independence element of like, if something goes catastrophically wrong, we'll be okay. Like if, you know, where the, I guess the concept would be instead of we compete, and the whole idea of you complete me to we complement each other.
Sure.
So, you know, the whole 50-50 creates codependency, but 100-100 makes 200 and we're stronger together.
Right.
Like
right.
That's the concept of you're good, I'm good, together we're better.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you with that concept of like, you know, if it all goes wrong, she'll be fine, you'll be fine, but we don't want it to go wrong.
Sure.
But if it did, like, let's say today, because, you know, like things, people are weird today. Let's say she's just like, Nick, I'm done. I'm going to go and be with John now. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? Which is some guy's real life. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I went to work, I came back, and she's just gone, and all my things are gone. And I don't know what the fuck just happened.
Sure.
Like, she was clearly planning this for a while. I didn't know. But his codependency now makes it so he's in a maximum loss. Instead of like, well, if you're abusing me, I can go. I don't have any other option here. So just before I get into like where men hold ground or boundaries, like, what do you think just on autonomy? Do you think it's necessary or just don't do it?
I think it's necessary for a lot of reasons. The first one being, you know, if you feel like you've lost yourself within your relationship, it is an incredibly isolating situation. Because the nature of relationships, you're two different people coming from two different places. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be strife and stress and, you know, bills, whatever. There's going to be a lot of stuff that does not go perfectly all the time. And if in the midst of that, you feel like you have lost yourself, it is depressing. And I will say this like candidly, my wife and I just had our third kid 3 months ago. So he's 3 months old. And I'm not saying this from a place of like, I feel like I've lost myself, but being in the newborn phase, Rick, I don't know if we checked in on this, but do you have kids? You have kids? Nice. Good for you, man. So yeah,
we got three teenage girls. So if you want to know, pray for me. That's where I'm at right now. I'm
going to say, God bless you. I got one girl, two boys. But anyway, so we had our third kid 3 months ago, and newborn phase is just overwhelming. There's a lot of stuff moving and shaking. You're getting used to the dynamic of three, and you having three kids, like you fully understand, right? So the one day I'm like sitting in the playroom with my three kids. My wife was working and would be gone for another 30 minutes to 45 minutes. I'm just like, the person I was a year ago, he's not here right now. The guy that's getting up at 5 a.m. and has time to himself, can drink his cup of coffee without disturbance. The guy who can meditate, you know, in the middle of the day without noise and craziness around, like having those things that meant something to me that I valued kind of being evaporated. And again, this is isolated to a newborn phase. Obviously, we're going to get our footing. And you know, like, we're already seeing chunks of that being built back into place. But this was like a month ago. So I'm just sitting there like, man, one, this sucks. It's not a good feeling. Objectively, like if I look at the situation, I'm incredibly blessed. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love the life that we have. But like that part of me not being there doesn't feel good. And the second thought was, there are guys that feel this not in the newborn phase, all the time. So I'm just like, fuck. Okay. So, you know, to that end, like autonomy becomes incredibly important, because if you do have that feeling like I felt, that feeling like I don't know who I am here, I don't know what my purpose is within this family because my wife runs the show and I'm just kind of a yes man. I'm a person that just shows up and does like all of that stuff feels awful. So autonomy becomes incredibly important to find your own space, even if it's just, like I said, my space prior to having our third kid, because with our second kid, he's three now. So we had our structures. We had I had my early mornings. I had my workouts. I had so like that stuff was already in there. And then third one comes in and just smacks it all away. But anyway, so like having that morning time, having workout time, having, you know, weekly or monthly hangouts with your friends so that you have space that isn't husband and father. And this is true for the other side too. It makes it a healthier relationship because that feeling of I have lost myself in this isn't there. You still are a person that's contributing to the whole. And that's a beautiful thing, is when you can feel like you have those spaces and you are an individual while also contributing to something bigger than yourself. Whereas, you know, a lack of that dependency of my sole purpose is father and husband. That's the only reason I live and breathe. And again, father and husband is the most noble thing that I've ever fucking done. But if that's the only thing that I am when it's all said and done, I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me that I didn't have an individual lane, something that felt
different legacy. Like, for how old are you right now, Nick?
I'm 35.
35. So this is around the same time when I started running into the legacy thoughts.
Okay.
Like, how will I be remembered? We don't really care. 30 and under, I didn't give a fuck. Sure. But like, as I started hitting 35 and up, I started getting into like, what will the dent in the universe I leave behind be? What will my impact, what will the ripple be from my existence? You know, the whole thing with Maximus, what we do in life echoes in eternity. And you're like, well, what will my echo be? You know, will it be like some jabroni that nobody remembers? Or is it going to be like, you know, I talk to guys, I'm like, what was your great grandfather's name? And they're like, man, I don't even know. And I'm like, that's how long we get remembered.
Right. Have you ever seen the quote where it's like, you die three times, you die, the last person visits your grave, and then your name is spoken the last time? The first time I read that, like, I teared up. I'm like, fuck, man.
You're hitting legacy. That's
you think that would last a long time, but that's, what, I'm 35, that's 100, 150 years from now, that third one happens. Exactly. If we're lucky.
If we're blessed.
If most we're blessed. Of the time is less. Right. So yeah, legacy thoughts are definitely hitting hard. I think, I don't know how old were you when you had your third kid?
We've got a 17, a 16, and a 13.
Okay. So how old were you when the third one was born?
I actually didn't make them. I've just been raising them for the
You've just been raising them.
So I didn't create them. I just raised them.
You didn't create the three girls, but you raised them.
I'm just here for the hard phases.
Wow. What a beacon of hope for the world. But yeah, I mean, the legacy stuff is, I think, just even ever since we knew we were going to be having our third kid.
Well, even with that, these girls will not be my legacy because it's not, they won't carry my name.
Right.
Yeah. Remember that. Like, so remember, I raised these children, but the principles that I instill, those will read on way after I'm gone.
Right.
My legacy most likely will not be through the daughters. Most likely.
Right.
You know, and that's reality check on that one. So here I am investing decades of my life and all of my resources, time and energy that goes into raising human beings just to have the fruit on the tree at the end I probably won't even get credit for.
Hmm. Well, shit, that hits.
Yeah. Right. So that's step parents, you know, so that's where I'm at, where here I am doing a volunteer gig for something that will get 1/10 the recognition of the person who does way less, who just happened to sleep with the person before I did.
Right.
And they get more credit doing way less work.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that. I was talking to a buddy yesterday who, his parents got divorced when he was real young. So his like childhood experience of relationship stability was not strong. Didn't have a lot of models of like, what does it look like? Husband and wife, communication skills, all that stuff. But his stepdad is like, he's just, he's incredible. He's an incredible man. And he stepped into their lives and, you know, was this like beacon, this like lighthouse for him. And, you know, he came into his life later when he was a teenager and probably didn't care too much, but like looking back on it now, as he reflects on it, like if Jeff is the stepdad's name, like if Jeff didn't come around, he'd have no fucking clue. Correct. And like, so like, even though Jeff is not blood to him, and he would never, I don't even think he would say it out loud that Jeff matters more than his dad does, but like Jeff has absolutely had a bigger influence on him aside from the biology and the DNA.
I've got one of those too. I've got a Ray. Like, so Ray came in when I was around 11 or 12. I think it was around like early teens also. And I'll be very open. 10 years of that fucking asshole teenager. I am a dick.
Sure.
Like I was also a very troubled teen. I came from a very troubled upbringing. And so I had a lot of things I had to sort through. I was a rage monster, man. I was that fucking guy. And so I was not good. I wasn't a good kid. Hmm. And I know that my stepdad like the patience this man has is one of my, as a mentor, is one of the traits I was like, man, I need to practice what this man does.
Sure.
Because I was a shit kid to this dude. And it wasn't, it was more than a decade before I was like, damn, dude, like, you're a big reason why I'm all right. It took like 10 years, and I'm in the situation now where I know that I protect, provide, preside for these girls. I know that they have a life where they can afford to be dramatic because they're not in danger.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they are blessed enough to worry about prom dresses and not worried about fucking, you know, panthers in the front yard. Like, sure. We're safe.
Yeah.
We're good.
Right.
And so here we are in a situation where I know that I probably won't get the recognition or appreciation for what I do for maybe another decade,
right.
Especially the young one. she's going to be like maybe 25 where she goes, actually, you were pretty cool.
Thank you.
And I'm like, that's all I've been waiting for a decade. Thank you so much. It's been 25 years. Thank
right.
you. Yeah. Like, it's going to be one of those. And so it's a tough job, but also with this, I had to also assess an autonomy thing for the relationship. And I'm going to bounce back because sure. the blessing yeah. of fatherhood, I think we could probably go for a while on this. Okay. And I very rarely, how often do you run into guys? I did this survey with my men. Mm-hmm. How many of them don't like being fathers?
Well, it's a good question. I think a lot of them love the idea of being a father. I think there's some of them that don't currently enjoy the experience of being a father because whether it is... I will say it straight. Like, it is the most challenging thing I've ever done and ever will do, to keep my shit together, to not, you know, project my own stuff onto them. It's challenging. And if you don't have the tools to kind of walk through that, you know, you're going to end up in battles with 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds, and it's not going to be pretty. And then your wife's going to be mad at you for blowing up on you. So like the experience of fatherhood, it can be the most daunting thing on a daily basis. But the idea of being, a dad, it, like knowing that, like you're saying, this legacy of this person came from my, like, I look at my oldest son's face and I'm like, that's fucking me. That's me.
That's little me.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally, so quick sidebar, I carbon copied my parents' family. Like, I am the middle child. There's 3 kids. It's daughter, son, son, daughter, boy, boy, girl, boy, boy. We have the same. It's daughter, boy, boy. So the middle child is me and I'm the middle child. So like, I look at, he's got curly hair. I don't have curly hair, but like he's my boy. I love that guy. But, yeah, man,
he's little you with a different Lego haircut.
He's got my dad's hair and my face.
Okay.
This is great. Yeah, man, it's fatherhood. I think the concept of it, the legacy of it, there's so many guys that I know. And I also know this to be my experience too. Like, this is the thing that I wanted to do more than anything. Was to be a dad. I wanted to be a husband for sure. I wanted that. I wanted a beautiful relationship, which I have, which I'm grateful for. But like being able to look at little humans and be like, you're here because of me. I'm going to make sure that you're okay until I'm not here anymore. Like, that is the shit. And there's, you know, to that point, not a guy that I've ever talked to doesn't like it. You know, it's same, just the experience the sucks, you know,
same result. Sometimes. That whole thing. But even still, the troubles that come from raising a kid, each of my guys, and I went through this survey, probably a couple hundred guys. And I was just like, how many of you really like the fatherhood is the line? You're like, fuck this job. I hate it. And everyone's like, no, they're kids. They're supposed to do crazy right. shit. Right. I'm not, doesn't bother me. Yeah. He broke things, but I broke things. So I can't be that mad at him. Like they seemed like that wasn't the problem. When I surveyed, what's the hardest part about fatherhood? It was probably the high 90 percentiles of it's her.
Interesting.
Mom's the hardest. She makes the most problems in the house. Hmm. And they're like, I like being a dad, but she bitches and complains when the kids are just doing kid stuff. And then she puts that on me. And now that's a problem. Now put that into split homes.
Sure.
What's the hardest part about being a dad? It's the ex-wife.
Well, yeah. And I mean, if you're in a split home situation, that has to be up there because, you know, you're, again, 2 different people, 2 different perspectives. And now you're doing it in 2 different locations. So you have to reset every time you come to a different place. And so that,
well, it comes down to power at that point too. And with the way the court systems are set up, who usually would have more power?
Well, the women. Yeah.
Right. And so the now you see what happens if she's got power. Is she fair? Is she just? Is she kind? Is she compassionate? Is she empathetic? Odds are no.
Well, especially if it's, the dynamic of a divorce too, if there are ill feelings towards the person she divorced, like,
yeah,
she's going to,
they're going to use the kids as a weapon. So who really suffers? Yeah. The guy's going to be like, this sucks. I hate that shit. But who's having to pay the price for it? Who pays the tab?
The kid.
Right. So this is where I'm like, I don't think that's as cool the way that's getting set up right now. And this is where, like, I kind of have a little bit of a, dads seem to like being dads, but man, ladies, you're not making it easy for, like, the kids to have a chance here.
Yeah.
Cause let him be a good dad. You don't have to like him. You can hate his guts. Mm. You don't have to be best friends with that guy. If it didn't work out, it didn't work out, but give your kids a damn chance here.
Yeah. I mean, if divorce is the thing, if we're talking about that dynamic, like, obviously the relationship didn't work. Kids have to be the focal point. It can't be about bitterness. It can't be about spite. It has to be 100%. Like, these things came from us. We're responsible for them.
You said things.
These things. Sometimes I look at my kids like, oh, you are things to me. You're mutants right now.
This creature, this damn creature that came.
Right. These little humans, they came from us. So we have to, well, it's a priority and responsibility, but it's also a form of protection. Like you said, like who gets the passed down trauma from all of that? The kids. Right. And then if they don't check in on that, they're going to pass it to their kids. Like, there's a long lineage of passing down stuff. And if you can prevent that by being a mindful and intentional human as you parent them, and as you walk through whatever relationship stuff needs to be walked through, speaking about legacy, it doesn't feel like the sexiest thing in the world to not bicker with your ex-husband or ex-wife, but like that is just as important as anything else in the legacy conversation.
I feel like it's more problematic that it feels sexy to argue with my ex. Like, no, the fuck it isn't.
No, I mean, I'm talking about the sexiness of when we talk about legacy, the sexiness I got to build $1 million company, or I got to, you know, give my kids a lake house so they can always bring, like, that's sexy, right? That's the sexy part of the legacy conversation enough. Type thing. I wasn't saying that it was sexy to argue with them. Like, no, that's not sexy. The important part is, like, legacy wise, if you are not with your person, but you have kids together, like, be focused on those kids, because they're going to walk away from it. You already walked away from that person, but they're in it still. You can't be screwing with that. That's no good.
You're in the manosphere. I'm going to keep on this topic for a little bit. I'll jump back to the other one in a minute, but sure. On this one. All right. Let's the divorce one. We got that one.
Sure.
What about the ones where there's a lot more going on now with the emasculation of men in the home, and guys aren't able to hold a line the way they used to in any type of strength? Like, there's an issue that's happening right now.
Sure.
And I'm seeing a pattern. Okay. And I'm not making the judgment yet. I'm just, there's a pattern of, like, damn, the girls are really going hard. I've got a lot of police officers on my guys. And they're like, we end up at a lot of domestic abuse calls that are women hitting men, but guys won't report it. The numbers are showing that women are hitting men way more, or emasculating men way more. But guys won't press charges or report it because it's shameful for a man who's 6'3"
sure.
to say, I just got beat up by a girl who's 5'1".
Yeah.
So, like, what are we doing here where we're like, how does a guy hold his line today? Like, what would a healthy way for you to say, like, a man who's in these dynamics to go, like, hey, I need you to stop doing that or else? What's our or else that you would have for men today?
I mean, are we talking about actual domestic violence, or are we talking about just, like, dynamics of feeling like you're being emasculated, walked all over, that type of stuff?
Let's just play with all of it. Because, I mean, what hurts more, physical or emotional?
Oh, shit. It would be emotional, because, like, correct. My wife's 5'2". She's not going to physically harm me in a serious way.
Sticks or stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, with what we work with, you're like, those words have fucked you up for 30 years. Right. You'd rather take a punch in the face.
Right. So I would say, I mean, there's a lot of different nuanced parts of that, in my opinion. Obviously, I think self-awareness for both parties is incredibly important. Unfortunately, a lot of adults lack self-awareness. It's not in high quantities from people that I've talked to, whether it be my clients or their wives or whatever. There's a lot of lines of thought generation to generation about what it means to be a man and what you're supposed to do. Like, to your point, like, there's guys that aren't reporting it because it's shameful, that they didn't want to get beat up by, you know, their wives. But I think another part of it too is there's, like, societal conditioning towards men that is, don't show that you're stressed. don't show that you are at a weakness of some kind. And don't, you know, ask for help. That whole that kind of line of thought of like, be a man, suck it up, take care of business, doesn't matter. It is harmful to dudes, especially in those types of situations, because if in the back of their mind, it's like, nope, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to shove it back down. I'm going to suppress it. And if you've worked with men, and like I've worked with men, like suppressing how you're feeling and what you're thinking is poison. It is the greatest poison that men will ever taste. It's rough. So how do we solve that problem? I think it's obviously there's two people in that conversation, two people that need to work on stuff. For the women, specifically in the scenarios where they are probably crossing lines of masculinity, whatever they're doing, self-awareness is incredibly important. Like asking yourself, does that seem fair? Does this seem important? Because there's a ton of women in my comment sections on TikTok and on Instagram. Some of them have valid points and concerns and shares. Others, I'm like, okay, that was a little off. That was a little off center. That didn't feel like, you know, a cohesive and happy relationship comes from that thought. So I think self-awareness of, am I being fair? Am I being just? Am I, you know, communicating harshly? What's my tone? Like the things basically that I ask men to think about, like, what are you in control of? What's your tone like? What's your energy like? Are you being fair? Are you being honest or brutally honest? Cause you don't need the brutal. You can just be honest. Like that stuff, I think, could be a focal point for the women. For the men, it comes down to letting go of and putting down this idea that you aren't allowed to speak up when you are experiencing some kind of pain, frustration, emotional discontent. Because if we can let go of that, then we open a door to like, oh, okay, I'm going to speak up and start sharing and start drawing boundaries. Like if you were to walk up to any guy in the street and ask him what kind of boundaries he has in his life, I think most of them will probably laugh because like men don't have boundaries. We just tough it out. Who cares what people do to me? Like, I'm just going to keep taking it and keep fighting through it. And I think there's an element of that that is helpful. It's purposeful. Like just keep taking it and keep going, keep taking it and keep going. But when you're in a relationship and you're trying to spend a lifetime with a person and there's this pattern that keeps continuing, it's not going to stop unless somebody says something about it. And that, you know, comes down to the men opening up and sharing like, hey, that's no good. What you're doing here, what you're saying here, what you're communicating to me or how you're treating me in front of the kids, like that can't happen. And that boundary might look like if you can do whatever you want to, but if that continues, I'm going to be, you know, pulling back in some way. You know, I'm going to be finding my own place to live. I'm going to go live with my parents on the weekends, whatever it might be. Go ahead. I see your point.
The autonomy. That's the autonomy element of there is no other card that I've seen that's more healthy than if you don't stop treating me like shit, I got to go.
Yeah, right.
That's the only card. We can't beat him up anymore. That's not going to work.
No.
You know, and being verbally abusive, that's not our best strategy.
No.
And then starving him to death or tying him to a radiator, that's not going to work. And so we're going to have to do something that's going to have to be a healthy way. These unhealthy ways, they don't work.
No, they do not work.
Right. So the only thing nowadays for guys does seem to be like autonomy. Now, this is running into a few things that you brought up. You brought up the fairness, being just, the suppression of our feelings because it's shown as weakness. Now, we're running into one of my largest battles for women. And this is something where I surveyed the shit out of my boys because I'm like, please tell me this one's not true, but it seems to be very true. And when I work with women, they seem to be like, shit. It's this one word that they say that they're the best at, but don't do it for men. And it's the empathy element. Empathy for your man.
Yeah.
Now, you said we have to be able as guys to be able to go like, let me just open up and share what's going on in this thing.
Sure.
I got a soul. I got a heart. Yep. Let me share what's going on. There's a hurt in here. Mm-hmm. And guys, you're not wrong. Struggle with articulating the emotions. We've had to suppress them for so long. Yep. You're right. It's the hardest fight for guys is the denial element of feelings.
Yep.
I'm fine. It's fine. Whatever is what it is. Okay. We're good, yeah. But you're not good. But you also don't know how to articulate you're not good. So when I have seen my guys listen to these girls who say, I want you to show me your vulnerability. I want you to show me you crying. I want to see that.
Yeah.
Well, these guys go, all right, you fucking asked for it. And they'll do their unload. And they'll be like, it was so hard and I was abused and all this shit. And then I watch these women stop being attracted to their men.
Interesting.
They stopped doing it. They're like, I've seen guys who are like, yeah, I opened up to her. Now we sleep in separate bedrooms and she won't sleep with me. And now she doesn't like, she hasn't shown like, or she judged me or she said, you're being kind of like a sissy, or it's hard for me to like, look at you the same after that.
Sure.
Women don't seem to be interested in the hearts of men more than like the well-being. And I think they confuse empathy and well-being as being the same thing. And what I mean by that is I folded the laundry, or I did some, I cooked you dinner, or your shoes are by the door for work. Well, those aren't emotions.
Sure.
And so if a guy's like, I'm really heavy in my heart today, it seems like, and if your comment section or anything like mine, the first thing you hear is, well, what about mine?
From the women? Like, yes. What about my feelings?
If you're like, guys are really struggling today and they're really struggling with their emotions. I have a very weird following. And we're pushing like 350,000 people who follow our stuff.
Yeah.
And it's 50-50.
Oh, no shit.
It's the craziest. I'm not leaning one side. It's 50-50. When I show people my algorithms, they're like, it's a big number to be 50-50. That's weird.
Right. Yeah.
And yet almost all negative comments come from women. Almost all.
Interesting.
And that's very interesting to me too. Cause I'm like, ladies, what is it? So if I have a video about a veteran who say he was almost killed himself because his emotions were heavy and nobody cared.
Right.
And I go, but he found his purpose and found his way out. And this is how he shared part of the story. Mm-hmm. The ladies are like, well, that's been happening to women for a long time. Yeah. So what about me? And you're like, ladies, stop. Ladies, empathy for men. Now, when I run into couples, almost no women are doing it for their men. And I did a survey for my guys. I stopped at 100 because I asked them three questions. Do your feelings matter to you? Do you believe your feelings matter to her? And do you want them to? And across the board, it was, yes, my feelings matter. No, they don't matter to her. Mm-hmm. Yes, I wish they did. There's only three guys out of the whole thing who said, I actually think my girl has empathy. Two of them were within the first 2 weeks of a relationship that both of those didn't work out. And one of the guys was in severe denial over his relationship and they're divorced.
Okay. Gotcha. That's interesting.
So, I mean, like, well, looking at it, I don't think they were really that empathetic.
Well, yeah. I mean, 2 weeks is too, you can't, there's really nothing you can put a gold star on in 2 weeks. I mean, I'm thinking back on the first 2 weeks of knowing my wife, and it was fucking fantastic. But like, I'm not going to bet the house on that. I'm not going to say like, this girl is going to be the mother of my three children and I'm going to move away from home, which I did. But after a year of knowing her. So yeah, man, the take that you mentioned about the veteran and him, you know, having these emotions and it was weighing heavy and it's hard and all that stuff. I have definitely seen the take of like, it's been hard for women. It's always hard for women. And I think here's my opinion on it is like two things can be true at the same time. That's my view on most things. That's why I don't get into heated comment battles with a lot of people because their perspective is true. But also so like to the point of the veteran, like it's true that his emotions were weighing heavy. He found purpose. That's beautiful. It's amazing. It can also be true that women have been struggling, not in the same way, but struggling. Right. And I think for those that try to kind of knife their way into those conversations and say like, I'm also hurting and this is also a problem for me. They're unable to play the two things can be true at the same time. Cause I think a big part of empathy is being able to do that. Cause I could, you know, thinking about like me and my wife, I could have had a hard day. True. If I bring it up and she says, well, my fucking day was hard. Like, that's also true. Like we can talk about this and not make it a battle, not make it who's had harder time. So that empathy comes from the ability to like, know that my situation is true for me and their situation is true for them. And it doesn't have to be a competition, but you know, the take that you shared and the one that I've also seen in my comment section where I talk about, you know, the trials and tribulations of being a husband, how stressful it can be, whether it be, you know, putting food on the table and then also taking care of yourself and also like trying to get your girl out for a date. Like, this is incredibly hard.
Moms have it hard too.
Yeah, I know they do. And, you know, ladies, if you're a follower of mine and been around, like, I agree. It's hard for everybody that is an adult that has kids. Like, you all have different roles and they're all very challenging. Like, for instance, my wife owns a makeup business. So, you know, during the week, I'm usually doing my work. And then during the weekend, when weddings are happening, she's usually out doing her work. So we will both have individual alone time with our children. Now, up until 3 months ago, it was only two, but now it's three. So like, I've lived the life of single, like being the lead parent, if you will, like being home with my kids, changing the diapers, putting food on the table, doing the laundry, doing the, like, I know that if that's your role, it's hard, but I also know the role of being in my office and trying to get work on the board so that we can make some money and help some people and all that stuff, also hard. So like the, maybe it's experiential that I understand what it's like for my wife. So I can sit with her and be like, yeah, it is. Our kids are very loud sometimes. I know. Like, so I get it. But maybe the empathy that's lacking is a lack of experience of seeing the other side, witnessing the other side. And by not being able to do that, it's like, my job's harder. My work is hard. Like, it doesn't have to be.
Would you say this empathy issue is a men just don't get it for women, or women can't do it for men?
I think everybody is capable of empathy. It's just a matter of, are you willing to step aside from your own shit to see the other person? Right.
Yeah.
Because the, like if a woman is talking about this veteran story and saying mothers have had it hard for a long time. Yeah. If you can just hold that in one hand while also holding the veteran story in the other hand, it doesn't have to be a problem.
It's the dismissiveness, though. And that's where I've noticed it's not, and it's just mine. And when I will talk with my guys, a lot of the women who completely shut down empathy for their man have trained their men that they are not safe to share with. So if a guy says, I'm really having a hard time right now with what I'm working through. She's like, you're having a hard time. I'll tell you my hard time. I'm having the worst day ever. Never. And you're like, oh my God, hold on. Or I've seen guys have real heavy burdens put on them that could affect the family. Hey, they're doing cutbacks at work, or I'm getting sued, or something has come up where you're like, damn, this is heavy. And I've seen the women immediately go into self-preservation instead of empathy and go, well, if you're going to have that, then it's all on me. Then I have to take care of everything then. Instead of going, what's going on with my dude?
Right.
They go, fuck this guy. I'm doing it myself then, which turns into a whole shit show.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying is we're missing this element where I asked my men, do you have empathy for your woman? Do you care about her feelings? Mm-hmm. And my guy's like, yeah. I'm like, would you die for your woman? Mm-hmm. And like high majority are like, I would die for my woman. I would die so she's okay.
Yeah.
Could you say the same the other way?
It's an interesting thought.
I highly doubt they'd be like, oh yeah, I would die for him. Like, really? Because you won't even listen to him.
Right.
And you die for him? Hold on a second. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. If there's a bump in the night, you're not going, I got it, baby. Like, no, you fucking don't. You don't fucking got it. You're like, go get it, Nick. Go get it. You don't fucking got it. Don't say that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
I'm going to get it.
And so
you got it.
Yeah. Like rock, paper, scissors, baby. Up.
Could you imagine?
Paper, your turn.
Show up. And
you that's 50-50, by the way.
What are you doing?
Women. Yeah. Women are saying they wanted 50-50. Did you watch my video I did? I think it was last month. You probably didn't see it, but I had a lady on the show. Mm-hmm. And I challenged, you know, like, hey, there's an element where the ladies drop the ball on their guys and the guys are like, well, fuck this game. I'm going to do autonomy and I'm out. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, well, men are just quitters. I'm like, well, they stopped cheering their man on. There was a degree where she started off as like, she's the reason I'm alive. She makes me feel the best out of all women I know.
Yeah.
No one lifts me like her.
Sure.
Nobody makes me feel like I can dominate the universe like this beautiful, amazing, powerful woman.
Yeah.
She loves what I do. She encourages. She cheers me on. She has my back. She ride or die. That's my baby. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere she just stopped doing all that shit. And the guy's like, well, I'm not even impressive to her. She doesn't even care anymore. I'm like, babe, look, I just built this amazing thing, or I got a world record, or I'm in the top 10 in the world. And they're like, whatever. Did you end up taking the garbage out? And you're like, fuck you. Like, you stop being impressed. I even said last night on our live that disinterested people are not interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you were like, hey, Rick, I got a TED talk coming up. And I'm like, good for you, dude. Whatever.
I'd want to hang out with you again.
Do I seem fucking cool? No, I just like it makes your amazing thing coming up boring or stupid, and it makes you not want to share anymore.
Right.
And so I'm looking at the empathy element on the ladies, and I'm like, I think there's some room here.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a little bit of room here. And our guys are saying, I can do it for her, though. I can have empathy for her. Yeah. But they don't have empathy for the men. And so then who's supposed to be running the show? The person who has no empathy for one of their members of the pack?
It's a fair question. Fair point. Now, the only question I have in return is, you know, unpacking what it looks like for a guy to have empathy for his girl, you know, because their emotional experience is so different than ours and what they're going through, what they're experiencing, especially if it's, let's say, in the traditional element of they're taking care of the kids and you're taking care of the finances, the all that stuff is, you know, empathizing with that, like saying that you will empathize with someone is different than actually empathizing, different than actually being able to do it. Because I think if you were to ask a woman straight out, you can tell me if I'm wrong because you work with women. If you were to say, like, would you have empathy for your man and how hard he works or whatever, they're probably like, sure.
Well, their answer goes into well-being and never a feeling.
Okay, tell me what that means.
Well, I cook, I clean, I take care of this thing, I do this. I'm like, those are all doing. I'm like, have you ever connected with his being? Have you ever gone like, how's my man's heart today? Yeah. Not, did I do a task today?
Gotcha. So they interpret that as, are you taking care of him? I made him a meal.
Right.
I washed the laundry.
So if I bought you a shirt, is that empathy?
No, no. Empathy is not.
That. There's no feelings involved. But they're like, but that was a really nice thing I did. I'm like, it is a nice thing. True. But not one thing that you just mentioned is a feeling.
Sure.
Yeah. So how often do you go, how's my man's feelings today?
Right.
And I've only seen one in years who's like, I can sit and he can cry all over me. And that's my guy.
Yeah.
Like the rest of them are like, fuck that. He's my rock. He's the one who needs to be strong.
Yeah.
I can't have him do that. The whole don't show weakness thing. That's usually trained at first from dads, later by women, reinforced heavily.
Oh yeah.
The rejection. Like I even had that experience as a kid. When I realized I was growing up in an abusive home because none of my friends could relate to the shit that I've been through, when I realized, wait a second.
This isn't normal?
I'm truly fucked up. I didn't know this.
Right.
I was like 15, and I realized if I started crying to my girlfriend at the time, like I realized I have a lot of shit. She broke up with me the next day.
Sure.
That's what we learn. If you show your vulnerability and weakness or your cry or whatever it would be, the traditional like definition or judgment of it, you just get rejected. They just throw you in the garbage. And I've seen guy after guy call going, hey, I did the whole agenda where like women are better and do everything for her. And then after she was built up, she left me for Brad at the office. What the fuck just happened?
I don't know what just happened.
We're like, we don't know either. You're supposed to work, right? She's supposed to have that hypergamy element. It's supposed to work both ways where like she can be above you with finances and career and life and growth. And women will happily look at their man as a dependent that they take care of and they're happy to do it. They're happy to, right? Fuck no, they're not. It hasn't been working. That guy gets fucking abandoned. And he loses his kids, he loses his house, he loses his marriage, and he was just doing good guy, nice guy stuff.
Well, yeah, the good guy, nice guy stuff is, it's a dead end. Like, it feels good on the front end. Like, yes, ma'am, yes, wife, I'll do this, I'll do that. Like, I always tell guys, like, happy wife, happy life is bullshit. Like, don't fall into that trap. And it's not because you shouldn't take care of your wife, because you should. But if you are happy wife, happy lifing, I always kind of call it a trajectory of different communication is, happy wife, happy life fits into a bucket of passivity. It's just like, yeah, do whatever you want, babe. Great. Yeah. Let's get a lake house. Let's get a boat. Let's get a jet ski. It's fine. No, we're in debt. It's fine. Like, that's just happy wife, happy life. Cool. Eventually, that's going to wear on you. You're going to turn into a passive aggressive person. So you're just going to be sarcastic. You're going to be a prick. And the message is still not going to come through. The message being, I'm not happy here. Right. And then eventually your passive aggressive will turn into aggressive. And not to say that you are going to be physically aggressive, but you're going to start shouting. You're going to start raising your voice. You're going to start projecting the pain that you haven't shared up until this point onto her. Or like a couple of my clients, because we've been working a lot of guys with infidelity lately. The aggressive behavior is, fuck this. I'm going to go and cheat. I'm going to go find something else that feels softer, that feels like they care about me, they respect me, whatever. So like that happy wife, happy life trap, you started over here with the best intentions to let her do whatever she wants to do, but you didn't have any boundaries. You didn't care, and it just you get to this place of like, fuck this. And it's either you're angry verbally or you walk out.
Well, there's another thing. I was watching this because this has been going on. The white knighting and all that kind of shit's been going on for it's been a while, and it just got real loud within the last 10 years. It's gotten loud.
Yeah,
these are like the women are better at everything, and anything we can do, they can do better, and all that shit. Like that whole thing where we put women on the pedestal.
Yeah.
What's wild is I was watching, like, whether it be newscasters or people who fall really far into that agenda. There was a lot of guys who started getting arrested because when they would finally end up in a sexual situation with a woman, there would be so much pent up anger that they would physically beat them to a bloody pulp.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. It's like, it was the most extreme. And one of the guys was the newscaster who was like, women are better at everything. And when he was having a sexual interaction, he pounded her into oblivion. This regression of like that, like you said, that put her on the pedestal, passive aggressive energy that gets pent up where she's better. But you know, it's cognitively not correct.
Right.
Soon as it turned into a release, it turned into just a brutal display.
Right.
And that was wild to me when I was watching, like, this is happening at the extreme. It's the extreme end.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
As you're watching that, like the guys who are super extreme, like girls are better at everything.
Yeah.
As soon as there was sexual interaction, it turned into physical abuse.
Yeah. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I hate that I say that I'm not surprised, but again, it like comes from that place of like, I'm going to be quiet and I'm just going to let them run things and be the pedestal, whatever. And then I'm going to get sarcastic and I'm going to be a prick, but she's still not hearing me because I'm not being direct. Okay, fuck it. I'm going to go all in and I'm going to start saying things that I've been waiting to say for 5 years. So it's not just fuck you, it's fuck you. And so like, yeah, right. Coming out a whole lot more aggressive and just the how visceral it is so heightened because it's been pent up. And that, you know, goes back again to like men need to open up and share stuff on the earlier end. And not be the passive person, not sit back and listen. And again, it's obviously relationships are a two-way street and you can't just blame one person. But like I always go back to for men, like what can you control? Can't control your wife. You can have influence, of course, but you can't control her. What can you control here? It's your dynamic. It's your language. It's your energy. It's your tone, all that stuff. So get good at that. And then if it's still not coming through on the other side, if she's still not respecting you, if she's still, you know, giving you shit and looking down on you and all that stuff, use the tools that you've built up on and communicate a boundary or tell her. And going back to the point of autonomy, like I can't do it anymore. I'm gone because I can't stay in this place. But, you know, it's relationships are messy, I guess is the long way of saying
it. Bro, it's messy, but that's where I very much agree with you that boundaries and the only boundary a man anytime I work with a man, the only healthy boundary is if you don't appreciate me or treat me abusively, I will remove all my provision. You don't get to have me anymore.
Right.
Like I'm going to have to go. If you're not going to try and pull the rubber band back and you're just going to let it snap, I'm just going to go. Like this is, you can't, don't talk to me in a way that's so disrespectful. You want to tear me down. Don't nag at me all day long. I want to come home to Lois Lane, not kryptonite. Like I don't, there's so many guys who will sit in the driveway when they get home for like 5 or 10 minutes, like, fuck, I don't want to go in there, you know? And like, they're like, they have to almost like do their decompression in the car because as soon as they walk in the door, she's all over them.
Sure.
And it's like, he just did 14 hours and he does physically dangerous work.
Yeah.
You're like, hold on, give the dude a damn second.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, again, you're just watching where the suppression leads to expression. Somebody blows the fuck up at some point. But the only thing a guy can do, he can't beat her up, can't do that stuff. He's got to be like, if you don't calm the fuck down or stop treating me like shit, I'm not going to be with you.
Right.
And he has to be able to actually enforce it.
Oh, yeah. Empty promises, no matter who's saying them, are just not going to work because they are noticed quickly. Like as soon as someone notices that it's not actually a thing that would be enforced, you're fucked. Like a quick funny side story to this that relates is, so we have three children, as mentioned. I have an older daughter and a well, the 3 month old, he's not really significant to the story. So we have the older daughter, she's almost six, and then we have a 3 year old. 6 year old, great rule follower, follows directions mm-hmm. very well, like the typical firstborn daughter. Yes. And so like we have this hatch light in her room that has a certain color and sound machine in it. She knew that when it turns green at 7 a.m., you can come see mommy and daddy. We'll start our day. Worked flawlessly for a long time. And then my son moves into the same room as her as we prepared for our third kid to get here. And him being a three-year-old who's also just moving into a bed instead of a crib and also like didn't sleep as well as she did previously, he would just get up out of bed and come see us at 5 a.m. And she'd be up and she'd be like, what the fuck is this? So like, as soon as she noticed that what she thought was the rule or the promise or the words were spoken, like this is with the boundary. And she, as soon as she saw her little brother not following direction and also not getting pushed back into the room, she was like, you know what? I'm going to go see mommy and daddy. I'm like, fuck, God damn it. So I always say, Henry, our three-year-old, he fucked it all up because he showed her that it wasn't exactly as enforceable as it was. And not to say that we, you know, need to keep our kids in a room for a certain amount of time, but like it was a good structure to the boundary of, like I was saying before, that 5 a.m. wake up time for me to have some space for myself before my kids are up and sprinting around the house, as you probably can hear in the background right now. Like,
I thought you were at a bowling alley.
Nope. That's my children above my head. Just being my children. So like that is just another like tangible example of if you're going to make a promise, if you're going to say like, this is what I'm going to do if this continues and you don't, and they notice, like
all respect,
best of luck to you. Cause it's not going to go well from there. For sure.
This is tough, man. Let's go into some harder stuff. So this is where I very much agree with you. The autonomy. I've talked to a lot of relationship coaches, even with my guys. I was like, please give me a better thing than if you don't stop treating me like shit, I got to go. I'm open to it, but that's so far it's been the best thing for guys right now, which is why let's go into a little bit of a weirder area.
Okay.
30% of men right now are done playing. Yeah, 30% of guys are done playing. A smaller percentage that have gone this whole red pill and MGTOW and men going their own way and screw girls, I'm done with this bullshit. No marriage on the table because a terrible business deal. You're watching a trend going this direction where guys are looking at like, if I get married now, it seems like if this was a business deal, I just will get screwed.
Sure.
Like, and so guys are not playing anymore. Mm-hmm. It's at 30% now for men, 20% for women who are like, we're done. We're not playing. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And relationships are on the decline.
Yeah.
And I'll get to the cheating element in a little bit, because especially the lower numbers, it gets weird. Like the lower ages, it gets weird. Mm. So like just with that first part though, like, please give me your opinion on the people who are like, we're killing our relationships permanently. What are you seeing in that realm? Because I'm not a relationship coach, so you're more in that.
Sure. So just for context purposes, are we saying that they're not in relationships whatsoever, or they're just choosing not to be married?
Not even trying to get in one. I'm not even talking to girls. You know what my new girlfriend is? Call of Duty. You know who my new boyfriend is? Social media.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that's like, pretty.
I'm not playing anymore.
Right. So I guess my take on that, I haven't run into too many men in that realm or women in that realm. Maybe it's just an age thing. Or, you know, I think the messaging and what we end up kind of talking about and bringing guys in for is, let's talk about your marriage. Let's talk about being a father. And so like 22-year-old kids could fuck off. They don't know who I am, you know, which is funny. Like I have a niece who just turned 12. And so like she's able to have TikTok and she's like, oh, I'm going to maybe get a TikTok. I'm like, see you on there. She's like, are you on there? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah, yeah.
My daughters give zero fucks what I do. Right. I'm internationally known. I'm like a big deal. I did a huge presentation yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, isn't that cool? They're like, yeah, so I got prom dresses I gotta get this weekend. I'm like,
it's not important, man. Sorry, Rick.
Nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit. Cares. They don't care at all. I'm an idiot to them.
But anyway, back to I guess my perspective of the being done. And just not playing the game. I will say this. I'm biased. I'm just 100% biased because I am married happily married in a healthy relationship. And I know that the benefit versus the risk, if you find a good person, healthy relationship, and both of you are working at the dynamics of that, can far exceed whatever you could achieve and or enjoy in life if you're doing it alone. So that's, you know, straight up, I'm biased in that way. But if I consider myself to be a 22-year-old, so before I met my wife, I was in a relationship for 4.5 years and broke that off when I was 24. Told all my friends, I'm going to be single for a couple of years. I'm just going to play the field, you know, enjoy the nightlife and, you know, just do my thing. Met my wife a month later, rest is history. Canceled that plan. But, you know, thinking about why I told everybody I'm going to be single is it was a short-sighted thing. Like, I was in this relationship that I wasn't happy in. That's why I ended it, the one prior. And my assumption was, my perception was, if that was that bad and it was there for that long and we were kind of inching towards like, okay, next step is probably engagement. We're 4.5 years in here. Like, it's got to be better just playing the field and just enjoying life and trying to soak it up as best you can. So I can understand that perspective because I was there for a month. It wasn't a very long existence for me. But like I said, I think it's short-sighted because as you get older and, you know, you spoke to the legacy thoughts and the legacy conversation, like if you got nothing to pass it down to, if you've got nothing to relate it to or kind of build with, it's a lonely journey. It's an isolating journey. And I consider the marriage that I have, the relationship that I have, to be the greatest accelerant to my growth as a man, to my understanding of myself as a man, than anything I could have figured out on my own. So like my take for anybody that's just out, I understand why you might think that that's the move. Because, you know, you look at the existence of, you know, the dating scene, the relationships that you may have had up until this point, obviously if they ended, they were shitty. And you also have awareness to what it might look like on the other side of marriage that ends at about a 50% clip. And if you're on the bill for that, it's again, business investment. If we're looking at it like that, not wise. But in between those two ends of the spectrum, those two ideas is if you can find someone and also work on yourself enough to build a healthier marriage and healthy relationship, it's going to give you rocket fuel that I just don't see you getting on your own unless you find something so purpose-driven, so purpose-filled, like building your own business that takes off and you have this just like beating heart within you. As soon as you wake up, you're ready to fucking rock and roll. Like if you find that, cool. You might not need a marriage to give you purpose, but you know, I think marriages and relationships that are healthy, which again, aren't the easiest thing to come by because of selection and of, you know, relationship dynamics that a lot of people aren't equipped with. It's so goddamn fruitful that I can't sit in those shoes and be like, that's what I would do. I can't do it. So that's what I would say about that 20 to 30%, like you were saying, that is out. I get maybe why, but I know that there is greener pastures once you get over a certain hump of things, no pun intended, on the hump. But yeah, that's where I'm at with that. What are the other, I guess, sections of what people are doing?
Well, that's a big one. The obvious thing is going to be like the guys who are like, fuck this. Yeah. And there's a lot of girls who are doing that. Are you familiar with the studies for like Universe 25, stuff like that?
Universe 25?
Yeah. No. It's a Dr. Calhoun. I mean, they've done it over and over again, but it was back in like the 70s where they had like the mouse utopia and saw what would happen if they had like everything was perfect and what would happen if they, you know, just let this perfect society go on. And long story short, it had a big boom where everything was really great. And then it hit a certain population level and then everything started to get weird. Yeah. Like, you know, cannibalism, androgyny, no more reproduction. They stopped making babies. There's the guys who became self-absorbed, the women who isolated, and the society completely crumbled in on itself. And everybody was extinct within 5 years.
And this was mice, you said?
Yeah, they've done it with other species too, over and over again. Every single thing that they do, they create a perfect utopia. All the food, water, shelter, perfect temperature, no predators. Like everything's perfect.
Yeah.
And every single time they do the study, they've done it with other animals too, and it ends up just eventually just they all go extinct. And we're running into that whole same thing. We're like, it's the good times.
Yeah.
You know, even though we can look at the news and the world's exploding everywhere, like, well, I mean, look at the house you're in. Look at the life you have. Right. We're in the good times.
Yeah.
Look at the conveniences that we have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're in the good times right now. And so we're creating problems because we don't have real problems.
Sure.
Polarization, for example, men versus women, mm-hmm. left versus right, all these things. It's all, you know, you're bad, you're good, I'm right, you're wrong, because we don't have any actual, like, problems.
Yeah, right. We're bored.
And so we make them. And so we're just turning into, well, we're just going to go and do our own thing. Mm-hmm. Now, this is turning into some really tough things for relationships. They're dying. It's killing the relationships. Fathers are being removed from the homes, both legally and even if you start getting into the welfare element, it's rewarded to leave a man. Mm-hmm. It's rewarded, financially rewarded. There's a 70% file rate is women are filing way more for divorce than men.
Yeah.
By a large number.
Sure.
Women are also now cheating more than men in the younger numbers. By a lot, really? Not married.
Okay.
Just relationships.
In relationships. Okay.
Like the young girls, it's way more now. They just don't call it cheating.
Oh.
They call it, he didn't meet my needs.
I see. And they're in a committed relationship or they're just like playing the field type thing?
Oh, yeah. There's some monstrous stuff you can find in this one. Sadia Khan goes pretty hard on this, too. She's like noticing the social media trend for what's happening with women. Also, look at the different addictions out there. Here's one. Let's do a hard one.
Okay.
Let's do a hard one together.
Sure.
Let's talk pornography for men. Mm-hmm. Let's talk social media for women.
Sure.
All right. So take it your direction on either of those, because like, is the pornography destroying men and who they are, or is social media having a higher effect on women or and men? Like, where are these big problems on these ones where it comes to like internet interaction? And then considering with emotional cheating and all of the different avenues that I'm going to put that on the table. I still don't know what the fuck that is.
What's that? Emotional cheating?
People. Yeah, it keeps being a different definition for everybody.
You sound like my business partner.
I'm trying to figure out. Where's the line? Everyone's got a different line. Sure. Well, how do I know?
Yeah, well, so I'm going to address that first because you're the last thing you said, and then we'll talk about porn. So emotional cheating, one, it's definitely a thing, at least from what we've seen within our company and all of that. The reason that nobody knows, or like you sitting there like, where's the line? What is the thing? It's because people don't have explicit boundaries of what's okay and what's not okay. So like you end up sending a text to someone you work with a smiley face in it. Are you cheating or are you just being friendly? Don't know. Haven't talked about it. Right. So like being more explicit with your partner in both directions, saying like, this is cool with me. This is not, this is cool with me. This is not, becomes an incredibly important, because emotional cheating is essentially like crossing boundaries of flirtation, emotional shares, talking about the ins and outs of life that aren't just day to day. Like this is my work person. Like this is someone who I work with, or this is someone who I met at this event. Like if you're talking about things that go deeper than the surface with these people, you're likely edging on emotional cheating. And what is dependent on, or what makes it emotional cheating is what, where did you cross the boundary? But if you don't have any boundaries, if you don't talk about them, if they're not explicit, like who the fuck knows? And I think this also plays in with the porn conversation too. Like I had one client in particular. I remember he was working through some stuff with his wife and he kind of nonchalantly mentioned porn. And he didn't think it was a big deal. He's like, I've watched it from time to time, whatever. And immediately she goes red and it's like, nope, done. Can't do it. Divorce. And I mean, we kind of sorted through things and helped him massage the problem and try to get to the other side of it. But like her initial reaction was coming from a place of there wasn't a boundary that was talked about. Her assumption was that's infidelity. His assumption was like, it's just something that I've seen and looked at since I was like 18. And it wasn't anything to me. It wasn't like so again, boundaries and like explicit conversation around what is cool and not cool becomes incredibly important. But to the bigger picture of porn, man, I think it's I don't think it's ruining men. I don't think that it is I mean, there is some science behind like what it does to your brain and if you're doing it consistently, but I'm sure you could probably find that with anything that you're doing habitually that like you're going to see certain things fire in your brain if you're,
Well, the frequency element was a big thing because I've looked at like 50 studies on this shit and it seems like, well, is it fucking dudes up? Are they can't go to work and they can't function in their day? And like, they're like, well, no, but then there's also like elements of couples who like it spiced things up together and they watch it together. So like if used as a tool, that's been useful too. But there's no guys except for like the tiniest percentage of like guys with like 9 hours a day of porn where it starts screwing up all of their stuff and they have ED at 26 years old. And like, that's when like, well, you're doing an obscene amount of anything. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
Yeah. An obscene amount is going to goof you up. It doesn't, it could be eating fucking pie. An obscene amount fucks you up. It could be anything.
I'm just hungry.
But
yeah, I agree.
So I'm watching the numbers for the boys. They're not getting mentally impaired and having, you know, suicidal thoughts because they're watching pornography twice a week. Like it doesn't mess them up.
No.
And there's couples that has helped. And so that's where it's like, well, this lady, is it a control thing then? Is it, I don't like competition. I don't like you even thinking about another bouncing butt or a boob or something. Like what is the thing that makes her go, absolutely not?
Sure.
When guys are more visual and it doesn't seem to be messing their brains up.
Right.
I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, to your point, it's incredibly subjective. Some people it's going to be like, okay, let's watch this together. Have a good time. Other people it's going to be, this is the end of our marriage. Because you chose to do this thing. That was not cool. I think to the perspective, or at least just what I've kind of gleaned from learning from talking to guys, why are their wives so upset about this stuff is it's insecurity. There's the one thing. It's you're looking at someone who is, from their perspective, more beautiful than me, in better shape than me, has this that I don't have, has that that I don't have. You're thinking about them. That's what you're thinking. So like, obviously, the insecurity emotion is going to get attached to that. And that makes sense to me. Does it mean that there is an objective, hard and fast rule around if it's okay, if it's not? No. But that's kind of what's at play. And I think for any relationship, there are going to be things that are out of bounds for certain people. And it's not ever going to be like, this is a universal rule for all relationships that if you do this, then it's over. If you do this, it's not. That's why like communicating about what feels appropriate, what makes you insecure, all of that stuff becomes incredibly important. Do I think it's ruining men? No.
So on that, then, I'm getting it's kind of just like it depends on how secure your person is.
Yeah. I mean, to your point of like it brings some couples together, like if a woman is like, yeah, let's watch it together. That would be fun. They're not thinking they're not having the thought of he's watching her and thinking about her instead of me. That's not a thought that's going through. It's we're watching this and enjoying this, right? So like the emotion and thought coming from the insecure person is going to have a different take than the person that thinks that this is exciting. This is, you know, something to bond over. And and therefore you end up in a place where it's going to vary from relationship to relationship.
All right. So the more insecure your woman is, the more likely she's going to have a panic attack over this thing. And the more secure, the more likely she's like, let me watch it with you, babe.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. All right. And so then on this other part to it, then if women are going to be doing those parts, did you ever watch, there's a couple different things, either Nora Vincent, when she started looking into what it means like to be a man. Did you ever watch that thing where it was a woman who dresses a man for like a year?
I might be thinking of the wrong thing. Where she like, she dressed up and then she went through a day or two or whatever. And like her video response afterward was like how crippling and lonely it is to be a man that nobody says hi, that whole thing.
I don't, you have to probably watch if it's the same girl. I'm sure somebody else has tried to do it, but she went undercover as a guy for, it was more than a year.
Oh, wow.
And she joined men's groups. She'd go to strip clubs. She would go and do, ask girls out on dates. She'd do speed dating. She did all these different like men activities.
Yeah.
And she'd go hang with the boys and do like bowling league. Like she would do all the boy stuff. Mm-hmm. And like they put her in makeup. They did her up. Right. Like the guys didn't know that wasn't a dude. That was Ned. They didn't know.
Gotcha.
And so later they're like, yeah, Ned was actually Nora. And you're like, shut the fuck up. I didn't even know. You did a good job.
It's good.
But she was pointing out how different it was, especially with strip club. When she went there, she's expecting some sort of emotional attachment that guys are doing when it comes to sexuality. Hmm. And she realized that the way that men were looking at sex was not the same as women. Women were more emotionally attached to the idea, and men were more visually stimulated without emotional attachment.
Sure.
And she would watch the guys at the strip club and realize it was more like eating a sandwich than it was an emotional connection.
Sure.
It was just a biological need. Like, I'm hungry. Let me eat something. Now I'm not hungry. Let me go do something else. Hmm. And that she was realizing it was more biological response than it is emotional connection. And that was her doing her study.
Yeah.
And I was like, fair enough. And this one, she'd watch the guys at the strip club. Like, they really didn't care that there wasn't, I'm in love with the stripper. Like, they didn't care.
Yeah.
And that was a different experience. She's like, I was very wrong. I thought it was the emotional thing, nothing to do with it. Yeah. Guys don't do it that way. And so when we would watch that one, I thought that was very interesting. But then we also go into the things that women, when they're cheating, they don't call it cheating. Mm-hmm. So when they looked at the studies from Google, they looked up what are the fantasies for men and what are the fantasies for women, and let's see like what the correspondence was. As you can imagine, the fantasy study for guys was about 8 minutes.
Okay.
They just looked it up. They were just like, they like bouncy boobs and butts, and it's just porn. They're all visual. This was an 8 minute study. They're like, it's a bunch of visual porn shit. That's all they did. That was it. It was just like, they just like the stuff. That's it. We don't really have to get deep. Mm-hmm. Now, women, what they found was, is they were more into the fantasy and story. They were the more of like the 50 Shades of Grey
right.
shit.
Right. More of like the smut books are all the rage.
Exactly. And so it got into five categories of what women were fantasizing about the most. And the five categories were vampires, werewolves, pirates, surgeons, and billionaires.
I love that only two of them were like human entities. That
yeah, don't get me started with the necrophilia and bestiality. I don't know what we're doing with that one. But if those were the most common searched for women across all of Google, the most common sexual fantasies were vampires, werewolves, pirates, surgeons, and billionaires. That's why the 50 Shades of Grey or the Twilights and all of those things were such a boom.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
And so if a girl is reading, and if you look at it, the same study of like, what do guys fantasize about? It's bouncing boobs, bouncing butts, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then girls would be like, it's going to be some sort of a fantasy story of some sort of billionaire spanking her, or, you know, a vampire who almost drinks her blood. Or whatever, some powerful apex monster who's only controllable by her love. And she's the most basic bitch on earth. Sure. So like that makes it so I have no prerequisite to be special for this apex predator to choose me. Mm-hmm. And so like if she's reading a pirate book, is that cheating? If she's watching Jack Sparrow, is this emotional cheating? Because she's got an emotional fantasy going on.
Sure.
And all you did was like, nice bouncing tit.
Right. Well, so it's a good question presented well. I guess the way that I'm trying to break it down in my mind is, if I were to sit in her shoes and be like, okay, why is this cheating to you? It's the tangible visual of that and the attachment to like, okay, you're not just watching porn like Netflix, you're watching porn and likely masturbating. So you're likely performing an act on yourself while thinking about what you're watching versus, and not to say that women don't do that while they're reading the books. I don't know. Never witnessed it. It could be. So like there's not as a tangible attachment to doing something physical with yourself to that element. So there's one piece of it. The other piece being, you know, I've worked with a lot of guys who have come to us and said like, because of this porn addiction that I have, like I'm watching it all the time. I'm not super interested and sleeping with my wife. So like that being a detaching element to the relationship causes stress and strain. Not to say that that's a universal thing that happens when you watch porn, but if that is
a high frequency user, right? That would be a high frequency.
So if it takes you to a place of being detached,
that's a small number.
Right. Well, I mean, I've definitely talked to guys within our company that have experienced that. But obviously the guys that are coming to our company are the ones that need help. So therefore, they're probably in the smaller percentage. It's you, a little bit.
Agreed.
So there's that part of it. And then, what was it? Oh yeah. So the direct physicalness of watching porn to what you're doing while you're doing that creates, I think, more of a significant insecurity, right? Like if I'm sitting there and thinking about my wife reading some vampire book and it's making her feel happy. You know, I'm like, okay, it's whatever. It's a thought that she's brewing up in her mind. It's fine. And honestly, it probably creates more connection than disconnection, right? Like she's going to be getting into that place for herself to seek me out. Not to say that she wants to dress me up like a vampire. I hope not. But
Well, this is where the emotional cheating part gets weird. What if she's thinking of the vampire story while you're with her, while you're being intimate? She's not thinking about you.
Sure. If there are a way to prove that, that would be uncomfortable. No, and it would...
That's part of the denial. You'll never know, right. But it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Sure.
And yet I need to control what you're allowed to fantasize about because, I mean, true or not true, women masturbate too.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do they think about?
Hard to say. I don't know.
Well, that's emotional cheating.
What if it's not about, what if they're not thinking about something or someone else?
What are they thinking about? Cars? What is it? Yeah, right. Yeah. But they're going to tell you it's that guy. But when you look it up, it's not like they're not Googling my husband. Well, yeah, they're looking up surgeons and billionaires. They're looking up other things that are like masters of the universe. They're not looking up, dude, they're looking up Jack Sparrow. They're not looking up. They're not looking at old family photos of you.
Yeah, right.
And so this is where it's like I'm here for the emotional cheating part. Let's try and get the line here. But it seems like it's a one way control streak that like I can just lie about what I say. But no, but you had to look at something, and so that counts.
Well, I don't see porn as something that falls into an emotional cheating category. For me, the way that I would define it and think about emotional cheating is you are creating a bond with an actual person. Through communication, through flirting, whatever. It's not about fantasy. It's not about visuals. It's about having some form of communication that should be exclusive to your marriage, that type of thing.
Now you're getting into the message stuff. You did a video. I saw the one where you were talking about the guy who was trying to get like pictures from his ex-girlfriend and all that kind of shit. That's just golden rule nonsense where I'm with you all day long. Right. Like, dude, if you're calling your ex to try and get nudes, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, that's just bananas.
Right.
Now, the emoji, like, hey, thanks for helping. See you later. Smiley face. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's your cheat, we're like, what are you doing? Or like, even the way that I speak. My girl got on me one time for messages to somebody for the way I speak, mm-hmm. where I'm like, I talk to my guys far more intimately than the way I talk to that person. Yeah. I was like, hey, if you ever need backup, I got your back. I'll be there for you. But I do that for everybody. So let me know if you need help.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, you got their back, do you? I'm like, I got everybody's back. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
That's just I just told my guys I love them today because I love my fucking dudes. Those are my brothers. Sure. I don't tell that person I love them. Like, which line are we talking about here?
Right. Well, I think for the gray areas that you're speaking to, like where the fuck is the line? It's not if it is a gray area, it's not a I'm fucking done. It is let's talk about this. This makes me uncomfortable. Right. This X, Y, and Z over here isn't cool with me. Like the, whether it be what you're texting, what you're saying, and or even for your point, like I say this to everyone, it's not specific to them, you know, being able to work through that so that it's not just like, if your wife came to you and was like, that's not fucking cool. I'm gone. I'll never see you again. Best of luck to you. That's a shitty thing on her part. It's not a shitty thing on your part because you weren't given the opportunity to be like, let's talk about this so that we can either navigate to a place of understanding or I can come to like shifting my behavior if it is inappropriate, if it does make you uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. This is where the shifting of behavior, if you're like, that's not even close to my line. Like, I don't do that. That's not even in my realm of flirting. That's not even what it looks like if I do
right.
that.
Yeah. Like, and
But they're like, but it feels like flirting to me. And I'm like, I hear you. I hear that for you feels like flirting. And then the truth is, and I'm telling you the truth, that's not what I flirt like. It's not even close to me
right. For
flirting.
Yeah.
So like, it's hard for me to go like, well, let me now adjust a behavior that seems based on insecurity, wounds, or fears,
yeah.
when I know that I'm not actually doing the thing that you want me to change something for.
Yeah.
And my stance on that, and this is something I stood hard for my own boundaries, is if you ask me or even make a demand to change something that comes from an insecurity, a fear, or a wound, I'm not doing it. Now, if you want to iron it out for something that's actually like, hey, this is healthy for us, and it's a healthy, like, this grows together, sure, but I'm not going to regress because you won't grow. And that's a line for me that I put down. Well, I don't expect everyone to do it, but if I say, Nick, I'm really insecure, you need to change. Well, now you're going to enable me that you don't ever have to, I don't ever have to grow.
That's true. Yeah. And I'm not saying that you have to shift behavior in that conversation. I'm just saying the conversation in the gray area has to be a part of it if it is a gray area, because both sides have different perspectives. Both sides deserve to have a say in what that looks like. If it is over a line, upon reflection, personal reflection, self-awareness, going back to it, like, it's incredibly important. Like, because you could, I'm not saying that this is for you, but like, if a guy sent a text to a girl at work who's cute and he tossed a little smiley emoji at the end, he could lawyer his way out of that and say, like, that didn't mean anything. I put smileys in all my messages. And it's a valid point. But in his heart of hearts, if at the same time he knew he was like trying to give her a little something, something a little extra, you know, that is something that he has to make a decision on for himself. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's uncomfortable. He's got to change. It's she's uncomfortable. Let's talk about why.
Well, if his intention is to try to be with someone else,
yeah,
well, that will reveal itself anyways. And that's like one of those things where her healthy boundaries for herself is like, that's what she asked me. Like, where's my line? I'm like, do you want to be with that guy? She's like, no. Then I'm like, then we're good. As soon as you choose a different person, well, then I'll go. Like, that's my line. Like, you're going to shoot. She's like, but what if I tell somebody I hope they have a good day? I'm like, I don't give a fuck if they have a good day. Go ahead. Like, sure. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, what if I said goodnight to somebody? I'm like, do you do it every day? Like, well, no. Then I'm like, then I don't fucking care. Do you want to be with that guy? No. Then I don't care. That's me. Mm-hmm. But if she goes, actually, I really like him and I want to be with him and I want to go spend time with him and I want to do that stuff with that guy, then I'm like, go ahead.
Sure.
I'm not going to be around. That's just a lot. That's where I have to hold a standard for myself. No different than if I want to go and be with a different girl or go hang out with her and go do other shit. I don't expect you to stay around for that.
Right.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Sure.
But if you said, hey, you know, guy from work, hope you have a good day. Thanks for sharing the stuff. I'll talk to you later. Smiley face. I'd be like, I hope you had a good day too. I don't fucking care.
Okay.
So that's just not the line for me. That's me.
Right. And that's important because everybody's lines are different. Being able to find the line for your own sake and then be able to communicate the line.
Now let's get messy with the line.
Let's play.
If pornography can have all of these restrictions because porn is bad.
Yeah.
Well, what about social media and attention for women today?
Yeah.
All right. Where's the line here for I just posted a picture of me in my bikini feeling cute, might delete later. Fishing, very different than guys, because we hunt, they plant traps.
Thirst trap.
And so now they're putting up posts that get hundreds or thousands of likes and or views. Mm-hmm. But they're like, these don't mean anything to me. Mm-hmm. Is that cheating emotionally?
I would say it's hard to not... Like I said, my definition of emotional cheating is you are interfacing and connecting with someone in a way that should be exclusive to your marriage. Posting something on the internet in a bikini isn't necessarily doing that. Now, if you're doing it as a means for attention that will eventually get someone to talk to you and interface with you, like if that's the end game, whether it's implicit or explicit.
They don't say that.
Nobody's going to say it. Nobody's going to say it.
Remember, because men and women hunt differently. We pursue.
Yeah.
We will DM and try to get in. Mm-hmm. But ladies will leave like bacon on the floor and the door open and just, I didn't know how the dog got in here.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where they put fishing poles on the stand and just don't touch them. And you'll watch. They'll see who's biting and they'll go, gross. Why did this guy bite? Ew. I don't like that. Right. Ew. He liked my comment. This guy's so nasty. He likes all my stuff.
Sure.
And then they'll see one who's like, that's like a nice one. They're like, hmm. And you're like, babe, what are you doing? Nothing. Nothing. I'm like, what is Why are you sizing that shit up? What are you doing right now? I don't know. I just thought it was weird that this guy was DMing me. I'll just see what it's all about. I'm like, wait a fucking second here.
Yeah.
You were fishing, but didn't call it fishing until you caught a fish that's maybe worth keeping.
Yeah.
What's that?
I mean, slippery slope. I think the initial action isn't necessarily cheating. I wouldn't put it in that bucket, but it's fishy. No pun intended. It is fish. And I think that an important element too is like, is it a changed behavior? Is it a new attention seeking behavior that you didn't see before? Because if it came out of nowhere and all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to start posting things in my bikini. Like that feels weird to me. That feels strange to me. Why is that happening? Again, worthy of a conversation. Like going back to, do you remember when the whole Jonah Hill boundary thing happened?
I didn't follow in Jonah Hill's boundary thing. What was that?
So Jonah Hill, you know who he is, the guy from Superbad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was dating this girl or began dating this girl who, I think was either a swimsuit model or some kind of, she was posting stuff on Instagram in bikinis well before they were in a relationship, like right?
Her job.
Right. It was either her job or yeah. So they get in a relationship. And he begins to kind of speak up about like her posting herself half naked on the internet and saying like, you know, this is a boundary for me. If you can't not do it, then it's not going to work out for me. Like she was doing that before. It's not a new behavior. She's not fishing for, you know, guys, she's in a committed relationship. She's committed to you. Like she's, the behavior hasn't shifted, right? Like if you're married to someone, if you're in a relationship with someone after 5-6 years, they get bored and all of a sudden the bikini pics start. And their TikTok starts to become this like, you know, I'm a siren type thing. That's questionable. It's fishy. Like I had a client straight up that he came to me because he felt as though he admittedly so like he was pretty distant and disconnected for a decent chunk of their relationship up until like 6 months prior to us working together. His wife started posting stuff on TikTok in like, you know, the fucking videos where like they're cleaning their kitchen in a dress. And like there's certain elements of what they're posting to like try to bring the guys out of the woodwork and say like, hey, you look nice today. That's a nice looking shirt, whatever. Or like heart emoji, whatever the fuck. Eventually, some guy starts DMing her on Instagram. She's, you know, engaging in that. Absolutely emotional cheating 100%. And it just kind of became the slippery slope. Like I said, now, does it mean that every bikini picture is that slippery slope? No, but I would say if it's a new behavior in a relationship that is already kind of not super connected, it's probably seeking something. It's probably looking for something. And do you have to wait until the eventual end game where she finally catches a fish to say anything about it? No, you can just bring it up and say, hey, I noticed that, you know, you've been posting these things and, you know, feels a little uncomfortable to me. It didn't look like what you were posting before. And I just wanted to see where that's at and where you're coming from with that. And will she admit it up front? Maybe not. No. Probably not. But probably at not. Least getting it on the radar as something that you're keeping an eye on so that she understands, like, I'm watching what's going on. And if it turns into the slipperiest of slopes, then something's got to be done about it. Yeah. But yeah, I think.
So the Jonah Hill with the bathing suit thing. Okay. So she used to do the bathing suit pictures before.
Yeah.
And then now that you're together, it's like, hey, babe, can you tone down the naked pictures?
Right.
And let's like that. The only thing that you don't see is a nipple and the line. Like everything else is right there.
Sure.
Like you can see everything on my girl. Can we just tone that stuff down? Well, I used to do it before. So why is it a problem now? Okay. Well, these guys all been watching porn since they were 13 years old. Why do they have to stop now?
Okay. Well, one, it's a
problem. That was old behavior. They've always been doing that behavior.
Sure.
That was
there forever. But that old behavior, in the context of what they might be looking at and insecure about, whatever, is affecting or an element of a relationship piece of this. Like, right, they're.
Well, then, maybe I'm jumping ahead. Did you agree with Jonah or not?
No.
Okay. So if he was doing porn first and then he got in a relationship and he still was doing it, even after they got in the relationship, would you agree then that he should stop? Because she doesn't have to stop doing the bathing suit pictures.
Right.
Because she was doing that before. Mm-hmm. But if this guy was looking at porn, he's not emotionally attached to porn. He just looked at it before. Mm-hmm. He should stop though.
Well, so the bikini thing is a behavior that she's posting and people are reacting to. So like that's attention. That's out of her control what other people are doing to that, right? They obviously will react in whatever.
What's it for, though? I mean, like, she's not posting it because she doesn't want attention.
Well, I'm not familiar with why she was posting beforehand. I'm just saying the context was she was doing it before and then after.
Let's make it as innocent as possible.
Sure.
Let's make it the most innocent of innocent. Okay. It's just because it's her business.
Yeah.
And her business is her body.
Sure.
Let's keep it as black. Like, it's nothing more. Not attention. It's not the pleasure of seeing other people who like her. It's not any fishing. None of that stuff. It's just her business is her body, and she shares her body.
Yeah.
All right? Now, if we do the same thing for this guy, he just does it so he jerks off so he can feel fucking normal and not go nuts for the day. Pun intended, nuts for the day. He's just like, I just had to get my rocks off, so I just need to watch something balance for a little bit. Finishes me off. Now I'm back to work. Like, it just keeps me from going crazy, especially in a relationship that has low intimacy.
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, it's wild because, like, you had the video of, like, you know, it's been 3 weeks and you made a good point, like, don't guilt and shame her into sex. That's not a good play. Yeah. But, like, 3 weeks is a long ass time. Like, slow, hey, well, like, that's still a human. So, hold on a second. Like, he's not supposed to take care of himself for a month. You're going to have a fucking psychopath if he's just pent up for months.
Sure.
But you're not going to take care of him. And so he's now bad because the behavior he did way before you just to get his rocks off and go back to the day is now to be judged and ridiculed and shamed.
Yeah.
It's the same to me as the bikini pictures. Hmm. He was doing that way before, and it's not an emotional attachment. It's just, I'm going to watch a boob bounce, finish my thing, go on to work. I'm done. I'm not emotionally attached. I'm not in love with. I don't interact or text any of these girls in the videos. I just watched it, moved forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can understand how, like, argumentatively they feel very similar, but I think for the guy watching porn, he is engaging with something that, and to your, I mean, your perspective is it's just like no emotional attachment, just getting his rocks off, whatever. But like, if he is having this sexual release while looking at, thinking about someone else that isn't his wife, what isn't his girlfriend beforehand, didn't affect her, but now it affects her in some way. She feels insecure though. That's not what she looks like. He's thinking about other women, whatever. So like that is something he's doing to himself that is engaging with something in a way that affects what she's doing, right? The girl in the bikini situation, she's just posting a picture. She's not emotionally or mentally or physically engaging with herself or with others in a way that's like arousing her in a way that maybe she would be aroused with her partner.
Give me a justification then, a reason that if you were posting up literally like boxer briefs only photos or anything that like is sexy as you could be, oiled up on the beach, looking hot in your whatever.
Sounds great.
Tell me the reason why you'd be doing it if it's not for some sort of emotional attention. There's some sort of an attachment to likes, subscribes, views, attention. Because if you're going to say there's no emotional attachment for these women when it comes to attention online, I may have to argue a little bit.
Well, I'm not saying that there's any kind of there's not any enjoyments or whatever from posting and getting attention. I think attention, human beings, we enjoy attention. But I'm saying like getting aroused to the point of orgasm isn't happening when she's posting a picture in a bikini. She's posting something for her business, to your innocent point. And it's not to get herself off. Does she get some attention from it? Does she possibly make some money from it for her business? Yeah, but she's not getting her rocks off and displacing something that is meant for her partner. Whereas in the perspective of a woman who might be insecure about porn, she's watching him. Or
she is putting out the things that people would masturbate to.
Potentially.
She's pretty much almost naked, dude.
Okay.
Again, I'm trying to be golden rule here. If you were putting out in content that was like you doing exactly the same thing as this bikini girl, let's put you as like, you're that guy. You're a handsome, beautiful man. Yeah. You can put your shit out there like that. And you would actually be in the small percentage of guys who get that, like just attention for how you look.
Yeah.
Like you could pull that off.
Yeah.
Now you're doing that now. All of a sudden the tattoos are fucking glimmering. The girls are losing their minds. Those blue eyes are just getting massive attention.
Sure.
But you're not doing anything with these ladies. Mm-hmm. Your girl would be completely cool because it's for your business. It's for your business.
So my wife wouldn't be cool because it would be a change of behavior. Like if I went from a guy who was just talking about relationships to be like, look at me.
But let's just say the attention starts to hit. Old Blue Eyes himself is getting like, you just got another 100,000 subs.
Yeah.
And like, why? Because those blue eyes twinkle just the way they do. And you're like, okay, all right. And you're like, you did one with your shirt off because you're like being a good dad with your shirt off. And that one drops another 250,000 subs.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. So more no shirt photos start happening. And then you do one at the beach with you in just shorts. And that one gets you another 250,000. You're hitting millions of subs. All of a sudden, these videos are blowing up. Right. Now, your other content for helping relationships is good.
Yeah.
But man, you just quadrupled your exposure from a couple, you know, little bit of attractive photos or attractive videos.
Yeah.
I'm a dad. It's not a dad bod. It's a father figure. Yeah. Like I'm changing the game. Mm-hmm. Father of three holding your baby with like your fucking six pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Way to go, Nick. Looking good, bro. And all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, there's a change in behavior, but it's for your business, man. You're not actually interacting with any of these women.
Sure.
Like, you're not interacting. Mm-hmm. So is it okay for you to start putting up, you know, almost racy photos? Because it is working for exposure for you to be an icon of a good man who looks good.
So are you saying if my wife would be okay with that? Is that the
question? Well, I'm just asking, is it okay for you to do what this girl's doing with bikinis? Because it is your business. It does make your business better. You get more exposure as a leader of a guy who walks the walk. And I take care of myself physically, and I teach guys to take care of themselves physically. It's part of being a good man. Yep. And I have the look, I have the vibe, and it is sexy, but guys should also be sexy. Uh-huh. So take care of yourself. Look good for your lady. I walk the walk. Look at my body. And that starts to really resonate.
Sure.
Should you just cancel that shit because she's like, I don't like it? Because that girl with the swimsuit stuff doesn't have to. Jonah's wrong. But if it worked in your favor, exactly the same thing. You're not putting your dick out there. It's just you and like regular, like just no shirt or something.
Yeah.
Something where it's like, are we crossing the line now? Because
in my specific case, if we're trying to make an argument for me doing that, yes. Because again, it's a change of behavior. I don't go around posting myself shirtless all the time. And
see, I'm going to have to play with this change of behavior. It's like, wait a second. It's the same behavior.
So if I was doing this before, if I was doing this before I met my wife, and continued to do it throughout our entire relationship, became a father of three and continued after that. And it, you know, continued to build my business or whatever. It would have to not be a problem because she accepted that upon entry, that this is a part of
it. What if she says no? What if she's like, now you're my guy and I would really prefer you stop putting sexual photos up?
I would say this was part of the deal. Like I was doing this beforehand. This is not new information. I'm not springing this on you out of nowhere.
Okay, so, you know, then you signed up for it.
I mean, you were aware, she would be aware that that was what my business was about prior to us meeting, yes.
Let's say you glowed up.
If I was...
I'm trying to make this as balanced as possible.
I understand, but
it seems so subjective to like, I just get to pick.
But again, it's not subjective if the situation is... I go from not posting shirtless pics to posting shirtless pics, and that's where my business takes off, and I keep doing it for the attention and for the business. That's a shift in behavior that I'm using my body that should be exclusive to my wife as a driver of things, both attention and business. That's different from whatever this girl was doing. She was doing the bikini stuff prior to.
So now if we look into the social media element where the ladies like this lady in the dress who's in the kitchen or women who are all of a sudden doing like feeling cute, might delete later, who didn't do this for years or whatever, you know, this is behavior that, you know, this should be considered. This is a problem behavior. You have a change in behavior and the change in behavior. If it's something I don't like, she, you know, the conversation should make sense that you're doing something that goes against our relationship now because it's new behavior.
I'm not saying that it's like cut and dry. You can't do that. It's worthy of a conversation. It goes back to that element of this is a gray area for us. This is new. I don't know how I feel about it, but we should be talking about this because this is new. And I think to that end, it could very similarly mirror what you were saying about your standard and boundary of like, if you're not willing if it's coming from an insecurity or from a fear or from whatever it was, like, that's not my problem. Like, that's something that you got to work on, right? So, like,
if you're trying to get attention because you feel like you're not getting enough attention.
Well, I'm just saying,
there's no way you can compete with millions.
If a woman were to all of a sudden start posting things that were, you know, bikinis or in dresses and for the intention of attention. And
they can't say that though. They won't say it.
I know. I understand that the reality is like people are messy and they're not going to say these things out loud. But if you can perceive that, right? If that's what's at play and she comes back to you and says, if this is your insecurity, if this is coming from a wound of yours, you're going to have to figure it out. Is that just as justified as your standard and seems boundary fair. As well?
Seems pretty damn fair to me. Seems like if that's where you're coming from, then yeah.
Because, I mean, this the reason weird, that I would start responding thing. To, like, if my wife, beautiful lady, I mean, she's just a knockout, got on social media and started, like, just exclusively posting bikini pictures, I would speak up about the relationship, but it's absolutely coming from insecurity. It's absolutely coming from a wound of mine not being enough. Why are you seeking the attention of the other person? So she could revert back and send that my way, and I could absolutely do the work on it. And maybe I do come to a conclusion that, like, she's still my wife and she still is a fucking knockout and I should be proud of that. Cool. So I've done the work. I've met up with that and she continues to do that behavior and it's not a problem anymore, but it came from a conversation. It came from, you know, addressing a behavior that was there and not just making it a black and white, like this is done. You can't do this anymore type thing.
If I'm breaking it down, it just feels like you have worked through understanding the intention. The intention is what really seems like it's the issue. So a guy sending a heart, the smiley face emoji, for example.
Yeah.
What's the intention? It's like, this, I send emojis to everybody. There's no intention. Well, then it's not. It's fine. Work on your shit. Hey, what's your intention for your bikini photo? It's what I do for work. It's not anything beyond that. Work on your shit. You know, don't change somebody. If she's doing something that's like, nope, it's not because I'm trying to fish or be with somebody else. Yeah. It's because I'm doing this for my, you know, business and I have it. So let's use it.
Yeah.
What's the intention? It seems more like we got to figure out intention. Now, this is where it's tricky because you talked about fairness, justice, even the concept of truth gets stretched now.
Sure.
And this is why it's really tough in relationships is because people will fucking lie. Because lying gets you out of being in trouble. That's why we lie.
Sure. Yeah. Being in trouble sucks.
So these guys are like, she started posting all this shit and I don't like it. She's getting a ton of attention really easy in a way that I couldn't ever.
Yeah.
No matter how brilliant you and I are, we cannot compete with a bouncing ass. It doesn't matter. We lose. We would lose. There's a million subs for a bouncing ass. We're pushing 300K. Yeah. We're not even able to play. Right. And you have to be fucking brilliant, and we're at 300K.
Right.
She just has to be bouncy and win.
Sure.
We can't compete. Mm-hmm. So like,
or we could start chopping wood in the woods like that. I don't know if you've seen it.
There's that. I know who you're talking about. He's coming. What's
his name? He seems like a good guy overall, but good guy.
He pulls the belt off in one swipe. The girls were talking about it. I was like, who is
right? Yeah, he's got lots of subscribers. It's not. I think he's a good dude deep down, but it's not because he's a good dude deep down. It's because he chops wood with his shirt off.
Listen, maybe we should be chopping wood. I don't know. If we should chop wood and then drop some hard psych work.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should.
Your wife is going to be like, change of behavior, Nicholas.
Possibly.
No, these are tough topics and it's hard. The social media one right now is fucking girls up. And I'm just going to put it on the table. It's making women have a really hard time. The comparisons that they have with other women have now become global. Mm-hmm. The attention is off the charts. It's off the charts attention.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to be smoking anymore. The interacting with each other with OnlyFans and different apps that make it so that people can subscribe to your naked pictures and then also talk to you. That's a fucking new thing that's becoming a real problem. Right. Like, and there's a lot more videos I'm watching where like the girl is watching the guy walk away because she's in the adult industry, which would be like having an OnlyFans account.
Yeah.
And good guys are like, I'm not fucking playing that. I don't want to be with a porn star. Yeah. Like, I don't want that.
Right.
We're in an interesting time where these girls can make six figures from their fucking apartment.
Yeah. Right.
Just by, you know, just being naked.
Yeah.
And so what an allure. What a weird time we're in for relationships. When, like, if money is tight, she could just get naked or masturbate in front of a camera. And you guys got food for, you guys are good. Bills are paid.
It's true.
That's a tough allure right now. And now you look at the younger generations of women where the transactional relationships and or upgrade to swipe right, get the better one, you know, 6 foot tall, six figures, six pack, what I deserve, get mine, boss babe, all that shit that's being pushed on young girls these days. It's making relationships almost impossible for like the 30 under crowd.
Yeah, I mean, relationships were hard and have been hard for generations. But when you add all the elements that you kind of alluded to there, it definitely, well, I'll say it this way, like relationships are difficult and have been for generations, mainly because people just don't, like you spoke to, like the psychology of humans and relationship dynamics. If you understand them, life gets easier to navigate. A lot of people don't dig deep in this stuff. They don't understand it. They don't understand it for their own sake. They don't understand it for their partner. So like for generations, it has been a struggle because of that, or at least that's been a part of it. So you take that same crowd that isn't super interested in diving deep and understanding themselves, their partners and all of that. And then you pour on top of it, all the bullshit that you just mentioned, it's only going to make it harder. And like the solution is peeling back and saying, okay, going back to kind of my message that I sent to all men is like, what can you control? You can control you. And outside of that, you can respond to the world and find better tools to respond to the world with. But if you're not looking at how you can control you, the OnlyFans, the porn, the social media, the swiping, like it's all going to be your enemy no matter what. So you better stock up with some tools and some weaponry. And that requires sitting in stillness and sitting down and learning about yourself and not thinking that you have it all figured out at the age of 18. Because good God, I'm 35 and I still do not have it fucking figured out. And just like being humble in that way and looking at yourself and knowing that if I can just figure some stuff out about me, the beautiful thing is when you do that, you start to recognize things about other people a whole lot faster, right? You know, I mean, you've been in the work, I've been in the work, like you can sit with someone for 5 minutes now and you're like, yeah, you're fucking lying to me. I just know it. I've ran those circles. I've heard it all before. So you just know it immediately. And if you
can't trick me with a mask I own.
Right. Exactly. I love that.
I have that outfit. You can't tell me it's not.
I know how to get into that outfit. Don't fuck with me. Right. So like by doing that deeper work on yourself, it's not that you become immune to the world. It's not that the circumstances don't suck because they objectively do sometimes, but you at least have a better chance of responding to them with some, you know, efficiency and effectiveness. Like otherwise you're going to drown in all of that stuff that you mentioned. Like I know just by sitting with enough men and enough people, when you can see stuff from within you that you see in other people, it's like, okay, I'm either going to stay and dig deeper with this person because I can see that potential. It's like a little diamond in the rough, or I'm going to be like, there's no shot. Sorry. Like I'll see you next time. Not going to work out. So being able to do that from a place of your own introspection gives you not superpowers, but pretty close to it. And that's kind of the solution as it always is. And I think a lot of at least men in my comments on social media are always like, what about her? What about her? What about her? And I'm like, I hear you. Women are imperfect.
I don't get that as much as you. I was looking at your comments on that. You get a lot of these guys who like you, like, thanks for the free content, knuckleheads. Like you get some of the weird guys. I don't see them.
Right. And I don't know if it's because sometimes I'm a little sassy with how I respond to guys and therefore it just kind of spirals from there in terms of like my energy I'm putting out, whatever. But yeah, like I get that question a lot. It's like, what about her? What about her? What about her? And as we've talked about back and forth on our time here together, like all humans are flawed. Women are included in that conversation. My job as a men's coach and leader is not to tell you that your wife needs to change, not to pat you on your head and say, like, you're good, she's the problem. That's not helpful. Mm-hmm. You can recognize those flaws in her, but also, like, if you're not going to work on you, we're not going to talk about her. We're not going to focus on her imperfections, because it all has to start with you every time.
Well, again, those guys generally seem to be more in, like, I don't teach polarization, but I can't deny it doesn't exist. Right. And so, like, if the dude's, like, highly in his feminine, you know, he's going to be more like, what about her? What about her? And I'm like, all right, we're going to need to get your balls sewed back on so we can do some shit together here, because it's not about her, man. It's about you.
Right. She will respond to you, you know, if you got things going in the right direction.
Well said, dude. Actually, that was a really good response. I resonate with that one. Well done. Thanks. Dude.
Good Appreciate job. That.
Yeah. Like, this has been fun. I know we gotta call it, because our 2 hours is coming up. It's flown by. Yeah. If there is a thing that, like, you've been working with guys long enough, and there's just one thing you could just, if I could just help the dudes remove this one fucking thing, if you get a genie's wish and you can make it gone, what's the one thing for guys that you would be like, I'd help my guys, just that's gone. That's not one of the fights we have to do anymore. What would be the one that you would just absolutely get rid of?
I think the one thing that I would give to them, erase from their struggles, is I think the length of time until they realize that they are a priority, that they deserve attention and energy and all of that. I've worked with so many guys from the early days of the Evolve Man until now that part of the breakdown in their relationship or part of the breakdown in themselves is, I've given so much to everybody else because I thought that's what I had to do, that don't know who I am anymore, haven't had a minute to myself in 10 years, don't know what I enjoy. And not to say that that is the cause of all of their problems in life, but life gets a lot easier when you even give yourself 20 minutes a day, when you give yourself 45 minutes a day, wherever that time can be carved out. Because if you do that, like I always, whenever I start working with a guy, it's like, we're going to talk about your nervous system for a while. It's going to feel like we're not talking about your marriage, but we are. Like, we're going to talk about meditating. We're going to talk about getting a little more rest. We're going to talk about getting to the gym and working off some of the stress chemicals. Because if you wait until there's a breakdown in order to realize that it's important, you've wasted 10, 15, 20 years of your best years. And if you could skip that line and get that information when you're 21, and make a morning routine, give yourself some structure that's like, I'm important here. You know, like, I've been married for 8 years. And because I started doing the work as soon as I became a husband, I knew on the front end of being married, like, I'm important here. It is not just my wife. We are a team. And the only way I can be a good teammate is by taking care of me. And, you know, that I think would be at the top of my list of what I would want to teach and let guys know is, you are important enough to give yourself some time, because it feels like it's not a big thing to give yourself a half hour, but my God, like, the compound interest on giving yourself 30 minutes a day every day for 10, 15, 20 years is incredible. So that would be my message to guys, is give yourself some time. You're important.
Yeah. Make yourself a priority. I do that with the dudes. I think it's a good call. I put guys as number two.
Okay.
Like, take care of yourself as number God first.
Okay.
So it goes God, then you. Yeah. And then it may be career or whatever it is, right? Because if you can't feed your family, they leave anyways. So like, you got to make sure that the provision is there, but then it's the relationship first, and like, relationship over children. The relationship fails, the kids are fucked.
Yeah.
Like, no, relationship first.
Yeah. My thing is person, partner, parent is what I teach is you first. Partner second. They're like, again, what do you mean? Like, my kids are important. Like, don't get me wrong, my kids get 98% of my time and energy, but my focus, my intention, I wake up after I've taken care of me. Like, my wife needs a cup of coffee, I'm gonna take care of her. She's got an appointment, like, let me check in, is she gonna be okay, like, how are you doing? Like, consideration of your partner and thinking about them in moments in between all the kids stuff throughout the day, you know, that is not, it's not a greater amount of time and effort that I'm giving my wife, but the greater amount of attention and intention has to go to her first, so it can flow down to our kids. Like, it's the only way that this works.
And you're able to give more because you made more room in yourself to give.
Yep.
Like, you take care of you first, you can take care of them better.
Yeah, absolutely. Man.
Yeah. Well said, brother. I appreciate you. Yeah, man. That one. That's good.
For sure.
That's good. Nick, this has been fun, man. This is good. And I honestly, like, I really very much enjoyed the conversation back and forth. We do align a lot. like there's usually I'd be looking and be like, where are we fucking not getting? I'm like, yeah, it seems pretty balanced out here. Like you've done the work. Yeah. And so I definitely would say like, this is a guy who, if I were to say I'm loaded up, I got to refer out. Nick, you would be a resource I would trust. And so if you're able to say, hey guys, like, if you want to get in touch, you got the Warriors way is one option. I'm a rough fucking customer, dude. I go in hard. Hmm. And if you're like, you want to take a different approach and you like my style better, which I very much recommend, like you seem like you got your shit together. Yeah. Where do they go, Nick? If they're like, I like Nick's style, man. This guy is my dude. Yeah. Where do you want him to go? Where do you want him to click?
Oh, well, I think the easiest way to get that, because as we talked about before we came on air, my name does not sound like it spells whatsoever. So for me to say, go to nickmatash.net or something, you'd be like, what the fuck? How do I? Just go to my Instagram or my TikTok profile, click on the link there. There's a button at the top of that list that you can schedule a call with my team. And from there, we basically listen to your story, see where you're at, see if you kind of align with what we know we do really well. Because at the end of the day, like if I know that my the evolved man way is going to serve you best. Cool. Come on in. We got you. If instead I'm like, Rick is actually probably your best bet. Like I know like 70% of what you need, but it sounds like from talking to Rick, like he's the 100% guy. We're going to send you his way. Like it's a matter of, and I don't think enough people do this in the world of coaching and leadership is, vetting the person for what you do well, rather than just taking anybody that wants to give you money. Like, we don't want to take anybody. We want to take somebody that we know aligns with the exact gifts that we give to guys. And if at the end of that conversation, after you book a call with our team, it's like, yeah, I think Rick's a better fit. We'll send you back to Rick after you've done the circle of seeing us here and going back. But yeah, just go to my profile links. We'll do it for you. Just schedule a call with my team. We'll hear your story, where you're at, what you need most. And if it feels like we're kind of in that realm of what you need, we'll go from there.
Sounds awesome. The evolved man himself. So I appreciate you very much, man. Thank you for the time.
Sure.
And I think we got to do more, man. Let's do more later on because let's take some hot topics now that you know how we Discord and let's go ahead and do some gnarly shit to help some people out.
Sounds good to me, man. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, brother. Click on the button and you can become the hero in your own story. It's time to start making the choices to change. And the evolution that you're going to do begins with choosing the next step. This is the way, and together, we're always stronger.